Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Ah, yeah, good times. 866-901-ADAM. How say you? Already got some calls lined up. Talk to you about anything this morning. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Adam's on the phone.
I just missed that drop.
Let's hop onto the phones because Ian has a question. Ian?
Adam.
What's happening, Ian?
What's going on? Big fan since about 97.
Wow, thanks, Ian.
Crazy. I was like in seventh grade.
And now, Now you've been divorced three times, in and out of methadone clinics,
absolutely.
And have a job that you've held down for 31 years that you can't stand.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. What's going on, Ian?
So there's a story you told on Loveline, and I don't think you've told it here yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's either Chris or Ray. You're in Tijuana. Somebody's running at full speed and passes out. And then
Chris.
When they wake up, they say something crazy.
Ah, yeah. Well, okay.
I want to ruin it.
Well, we used to go to Tijuana. You know, we had to make our own fun back in the day. We didn't have your video games and your Xboxes and your flat panel TVs. We had a little bit of money and not much else. Now, the good thing about that, you know, it was actually, it's a sort of double-edged sword when you have parents that don't have much money and aren't that interested. You're on one hand, you're not going to space camp.
Yeah.
On another hand, you could announce, hey, I'm going to take a moped to Tijuana and do some whoring. And maybe you get by. Sometimes you'll get locked the door.
Wow.
You get stuff like that. So you don't want any money, do you? Nope. All right. Good times. And you can just leave. Everyone I knew essentially had that relationship with their parents. They're all guys. They're all hardy guys who their parents, I think, worried more about what they did to other people rather than what got done to them. I guess there's two modes. There's two modes when you're a bad parent. You worry about, well, actually, you don't worry about much. That's the whole thing. You don't worry. Nobody's parents worried about anything. But I would say that if you talk to most of my friends, their parents worried. And again, they didn't worry, but if you put a gun to their head and asked them to worry about something, they would say, I worry about getting sued by somebody that Ray beats up, not Ray getting taken advantage of or beaten up himself. And it was the same with all my friends. They were proactive kinds of guys. So, we were 18, 19, 20 years old. We used to go to Tijuana all the time. The only problem with going to Tijuana is we rarely had a car that could make it out there and rarely had enough money to have a good time there. But all you needed to do was scrape together about $15 or $20.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
And that's what we would do. We would go to Tijuana. We'd park the car at the border. We'd walk over the border. We'd go to Revolution Street. We'd go down Revolution Street. We'd go to a bar. Little out of the way, hole in the wall place off the main drag. 50-cent drinks, get loaded. Then we'd buy a bottle of Bacardi or something. And then we'd go to the strip club. And then we'd order Cokes. And then we'd freshen up our drinks with the booze. It's about all we had money for.
Have you ever been to Tijuana, Teresa?
I have not.
Oh, see, this is sort of a guy's thing, though, right? Like, we used to go in college because, before, you know, drinking age 21 here, but it's 18 there, 18-ish, basically.
Everything's ish over there.
You can walk in, they'll let you drink.
Yeah, there's
murder-ish,
there's arson-ish. Everything's got an ish attached to it.
Sure, bribe-ish.
Yeah, when the cops are riding wheelies on their motorcycles, you know 20's probably going to swim.
They pour the drinks right in your mouth. They do that back in the day. They tilt your head back and the tequila right in, and the guy's a whistle, and he shakes your head and he blows the whistle.
Yeah, you're talking about Margarita's Village, which is on the corner of Revolution and whatever.
Is that the only place that does it?
The main people have no idea, and maybe they have laws in Tijuana now, but in Tijuana, there was a place called Margarita's Village, and you would go down some stairs, and you would go underground into this bar. Now, it was kind of touristy. It was a Carlos and Charlie's or something, but it was in Tijuana. And what they would do is they would do those poppers. They'd slam the thing down and they'd shoot it down. And the waiters and waitresses would be dressed as like inmates and wizards and more. They'd be dressed and wearing like roller skates and stuff. And they would slam the poppers, and they come behind you and blow a whistle and stuff. They'd shoot it down your throat. Yes, I threw up in the ice maker of that place, and then I passed out in...
I must have missed the plaque they erected over
You did not see the bronze sculpture?
No.
Huh.
And then, of course, you have to get up early to go shopping for those Kate Spade knockoff bags that you and Ray like.
Sure.
I bet.
And so what
for a new liver.
What we would do is we would handle it a few ways. The Margaritas Village, that was a touristy place. And once in a while when we went with girls, we would go there because you could get somebody drunk no matter what because they couldn't say no. All I had to do is say, I'm going to the bathroom. And I'd say, my friend over here in the black dress, go ahead and nail her. And the guy coming double.
They'd sneak up
and
on
come
you.
And give you double. Pow. Tequila popper. Boom. You're down. And then they would shake your head violently. And I mean violently.
Yeah.
They put the inside of the forearm over your mouth from behind you, and they would shake your head like it was a paint can. It's no wonder everyone in that place hurled. I hurled into the ice maker and then went into the back. The back door is in an alley, but it's not really an alley. It's just sort of a narrow corridor, and everything is down below the street, so there's a bunch of steps that go up in the street, and saw a cop up there, and I thought, well, I'm going to get some rest against these boxes, but I better keep my eyes open for that cop.
Hold on, you couldn't find a cactus to rest against?
I didn't have my sombrero on to block out the light.
There were cactus boxes.
So I look up, and I go, I keep my eye on that cop, and then it was just out of a movie. I opened my eyes because I felt something pushing me into there. There was the cop standing directly above me. Shoving me with his nightstick, and I just got up and ran back into the bar. He never did anything. But we would go to Tijuana, and we would do one of two things. We would either park the car at the border, take a cab in, get loaded in Tijuana, take a cab back, and then go stay with our friends who were at San Diego State. We knew a couple of chicks who went to San Diego State. Or we would keep going deeper into Tijuana and go to the beach and go to sleep at night. Not like we went there during the day and pitched a tent and had campgrounds and then went into Tijuana and got drunk. Oh, no, we would go to Tijuana with a blanket and a pillow. And we would go around Tijuana and we'd get loaded. And then we would get back in the car and we would drive in the general direction of where we thought the beach was. Not much in the way of signs or street lights or anything. Eventually, the road would turn to dirt. You'd park the car. You'd walk out in the sand a few hundred feet and you'd just flop down. On the sand. It was awesome stuff. But my buddy Chris went with us one time, and my buddy Chris did a few things. Now, this particular time, we got a hotel, I should say a cheap motel, right outside of Tijuana, somewhere in San Diego.
Now, how much is that, like 20 bucks?
It's like 4 to 6 guys staying in one room of a cheap motel, like a motor lodge kind of thing. So everyone must have chipped in like $8 or $7 or something like that.
When you're talking about a Tijuana motel, you can leave out the cheap part.
That's a good point.
Right, redundant.
But this was outside of Tijuana. This was San Diego. Thank you. There you go. So my buddy Chris, who's a big guy and likes drinking, was with us, and he did a couple things. One is we all decided to buy a bottle of tequila to take back with us from Tijuana at a certain point. And these trips all sort of mash together. I mean, there are ones where we're in the strip club and one of my friends goes and gets a whore and then we get chased out of the place because they see us with our bottle of rum freshening up our cokes and we can't go back in and he doesn't know where we are. And then there's ones where guys get lost and guys vomit all over the place. But this particular one, I remember clearly my buddy Rudy, who's sort of the goofball, had his bottle of tequila, and my buddy Chris had his bottle, and everyone had their bottle of tequila. This was a big ticket item, but you save $4 on it, so you had to buy it. It's much cheaper to go to Tijuana and buy a bottle of Jose Cuervo for $9 as opposed to here in the States where it's
$12.75. Smart.
Yeah, shrewd. Economical. We're all shrewd businessmen. So my buddy Rudy at the border, as we're walking across the border, drops his bottle and just bursts on the ground. And my buddy Chris, really like it was out of a movie, goes, holds his bottle up and goes, my name's Rudy. I have butter. And in the middle of making fun of him, dropped his bottle and it crashed. And he literally stomped on the broken glass. He's like, starts screaming at the ground. Like he was loaded out of his mind. Dropping your bottle of tequila sucks. Dropping your bottle of tequila when you're drunk is bad and when you're super poor is bad. But when you're making fun of another guy, my name's Rudy, I can't hold on to a bottle. Boom, right to the ground.
karma. Did he pick up a broken glass shard and attempt to take his own life?
Really, he almost dove at the asphalt. He was so angry at the, he was angry at the ground is what he was angry at. So, we decided to start running across the border. The border has this long ramp with this sort of twisty bits thing and then this long overpass and the whole thing. And we're running and running and running. We just turn around and look, and Chris was just face down on the sidewalk. Like, he just evidently mid-sprint just passed out while he was running.
He was collecting his bottles of tequila.
And, you know, of course, like caring friends, we went over there and kicked him a couple times. He didn't move. And then I think Todd shot a loogie at him, and he still didn't move, so we realized he was really passed out. So we picked him up, and he was over 200 pounds, and slung him over my shoulder, and we dragged him to the back of my friend Tom's Toyota, and we shoved him into the back of the car, and we all piled in, and then we went to the motel, and he was out like a light. I mean, just you could slap him in the face. He didn't react, but we didn't think he was dead or anything. We just thought he, you know, passed out. And then we got to the hotel, and I thought, oh, good Christ, now we're going to have to drag him out of the back of this Toyota Celica, and I'm going to have to carry him up the stairs of the room. And we turned around, and we're like, Chris, we're at the hotel. He was completely passed out, and then he popped open, and his eyes got as big as saucers, and he yelled, Captain! We can't feed them boys sticky rice. And he passed right back out again.
What in the world was that?
That was from an Uncle Ben's rice commercial from the 70s.
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Where they're on some kind of paddle boat, and a black guy comes out from behind the thing and tells the captain for Uncle Ben's converted. I think it was called converted rice.
Yeah, I remember that.
Uncle Ben's converted. That black guy pops out and goes, Captain, we can't feed them boys stick of rice. I don't know why he yelled that. The commercial was at least 15 years old, but that's what came flying out of his mouth. And then he passed out again. And I'll just let you know how guys are. There were two beds, and there were four to six guys. Someone was sleeping on the floor, and the beds were just twins. We dragged Chris up the stairs. We threw him on our shoulders. We dragged him up. I threw him on one of the beds. Somebody else dibs the other bed or whatever. Chris was passed out on top of one of those cheap motel beds that are taller than they are wide.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know who invents a bed that's 3.5 foot high and 28 inches wide, but it was like one of those. And he's on top of that thing. And I decided to go to the bathroom to take a leak before I go to bed. I go in the bathroom, and I'm taking a leak, and I hear boom, like I hear like a sack of potatoes hit the floor. I turn my head. I come walking back, and there's my buddy Tommy's watching TV on the bed where Chris was. And I'm like, what happened to Chris? I rolled him off. Chris is lying in like a twisted heap on the floor, the filthy floor of the crappy motel. And Tom's like, yeah, he's not going to enjoy this bed. I just thought, that's the difference between guys and girls. Girls would have gotten water and been like, Tammy, wake up, sweetie. And then somebody would yell like, call the ambulance. That's the way it would have went, as opposed to rolling him off the bed and letting him just sleep on his arm so it has to be amputated the next day. Hey, wait a minute. Who are we talking to? Hey, Ian?
Yes, sir.
That was one of Chris passing out in Tijuana.
Good times.
Thanks, buddy. All right, let's see. Sweet. Anyone someone wants some good stories about being on mushrooms?
Someone wants to know what's up with my ring, Adam.
Huh? Hey, Chris? All right, let's find out what's up with your ring. Let's see. Somebody plays a cello. Who's that, Vanessa? Vanessa.
Yes.
You want to know what's up with T's ring?
Yes, and I want to say compliments to you for having Miss Teresa Strasser. She is so wonderful.
I have been screaming that at deaf ears for the last year and a half.
Adam, a great call.
Hmm? Yeah, great call.
Great call.
Look, people want to know, seriously, people want to know why I don't talk to people that I don't know very well, and I don't talk to them for years and years and years because I have a bad vibe about them, and they want to know why I fight so hard for people I don't know very well because I have a good vibe about them. I knew Teresa was smart and funny, and by the way, in a desert of smart and funny in radio. I mean, radio's filled with people that can't handle TV. For the most part, let's be honest.
I thought they stole all their good ideas. Well, that's what I've been
if you listen to Likas, you'll learn that they do steal all his good ideas. But let's face it, radio's filled with people who say they love radio. They don't love radio. They can't get hired on TV. I mean, that's the God's honest truth. 99% of the people, there are a few purists, mostly on the AM dial, who want to do it, but mostly the people on the FM dial are there because they can't. Now, once in a while, you get your Seacrest type who does both, and I occasionally did both, but most of the folks would quit their gig in a heartbeat if you gave them some late-night job, as many people do. But Teresa is the real deal. So, Vanessa, your question for her.
Yeah, Teresa, what have you decided about your rank?
Well, thank you so much, Vanessa, for asking and also for saying something so nice about me. I appreciate that.
Let's tease it, baby.
All right. I do have some info.
You made a decision?
Yeah. And, well, I have a question for you, Adam, on the whole situation, and I have some more information about the ring.
All right. And again, I'll say this quickly about jewelry, rings, and things like that. T, you're educated, you're pragmatic, you're part lesbian, you're from the Bay Area. You think with your brain, not your bosom.
Right, yeah.
Now, as I try to explain to everyone, I keep saying these diamonds are artificially inflated or there's ways to do cultured versions of them that are indetectable by electron microscopes. That's not the point, everybody. If I took a cat turd and I lacquered it and I put it on a band and somebody said it's $5,000, that would be fine for my wife because it would be $5,000 worth of I love you.
Right. Yeah. Sure. It's a message, and it's a weird message when you I can't ever unknow what I now know. I don't think I could ever wear a diamond.
We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back with a teen or diamond story, and I'll tell a mushroom story.
Oh, good.
Next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Straight out of Sherman Oaks, program director Jack Silver.
Check, check, check. Booyah, beeps. Today, we'll search for weirdos on Craigslist in another edition of Who the F Sells This S. We'll recap last night's American Idol. More bizarre stories in a new round of Germany or Florida. And from the new movie Strange Wilderness, Alan Govert. Hey, Strange Wilderness, good day for TSV. Because nobody went to see it last weekend.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I got a mushroom story coming up. Somebody had a question for T about her diamond.
Yeah.
I think she dropped off the line, but that doesn't matter. You can answer it anyway.
I'll make it quick because I don't want to bore people with why I don't want a diamond.
Boring.
But, you know, in short, it's very bloody mining diamonds. It's terrible for the environment. And it's basically just a big rock that isn't scarce that De Beers and company have convinced you that you need to show people how much money your husband has or how much he loves you. And to me, that whole thing is just ridiculous. So I really gave it some thought. Why do I want a ring? It does have some meaning. It lets people know that you're married. Or engaged, so it's important. And I want to look pretty. I don't just want to, you know, play in band. That would probably be the most practical. So I think we are going to get a culture diamond, a man-made diamond. So I've kind of left it in his hands. I think he's having it made. And now I'm just kind of waiting for a proposal. I'm waiting.
Oh, you're waiting for a proposal.
Yeah. Do you think
when he gets the culture diamond?
Yeah, he's having it made, and we kind of agreed that after we talked about it and decided this is what we want to do.
Now, how when he presents you the culture diamond, does he get down on a fake knee?
Yep.
And just cry some salt solution out of his right eye?
Well, he's having it set, you know, in platinum or white gold or whatever. So that much I know. After that, I'm going to be totally surprised because I told him I'm going to like whatever it is. I basically don't have any idea about jewelry. So, but the big question is proposal date, because it's got to be in the next month or two.
Why?
Well, because we're planning, I mean, not to overshare about my family planning issues, but we're planning to start in June.
Oh, okay.
So time is limited.
All right. Yeah. So you got to get married. I mean, you have to think you're going to get married. Well, do you have to get married before you start trying?
No, I don't think I have to, but
you have to get married before you start showing, not before you start
trying.
There you
trying, go. And right? In our case, I mean, we're just going to go to the justice of the peace, so it doesn't require a lot of planning.
Man.
But listen, the man is important. The marriage is important. The party is not important.
Listen, I agree. I don't know. Look, I there's a lot of stuff in our society that's been sold to us. I don't know if it started with religion. To me, that seems to be all arrows or all roads lead to religion. Whenever I try to think of some kooky ritual that we're all involved with, I think of that. But the whole wedding thing is just...
Oh, my God. I don't think it started with religion. I think it started with consumerism. The wedding industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. When you are going to be a bride, there are conventions, there are magazines, there are so many things to be bought.
Yeah, the amount spent on weddings and funerals is, for a right-thinking atheist, blows me away.
Yeah.
Because for me, that's all money that goes up either in one evening or for an eternity. But the idea of being buried in a $10,000 box when you're driving a $4,000 car, it doesn't make any sense at all to me.
This is how I feel about a $30,000 party for your parents' friends. I don't understand that. Or a $20,000 ring.
Yeah. If you were to ask me, if I didn't know what I know about society, if you were to ask me about weddings or funerals, I would say, average wedding, I don't know, $300. Average funeral, $100.
Right? Yeah,
I guess you just get dumped in the ocean, right?
You'd think.
They just put you on a trash barge and light it on fire. Isn't that how it works? Yes. Well, now you should, you know what?
What?
I'm going to have you sworn in a ceremony in the courthouse steps. You're an honorary Corolla.
I am?
Yes, because the Corollas, I don't know. First off, the cheapness never comes out like a wedding or funeral when you're cheap. And like I said, my grandfather got picked up by a guy in his mom's station wagon about 4:30 in the morning, and he took him to the ocean and he dumped him.
That'd be fine by me,
It's
by
called
the way.
The Neptune Society. Yeah. We did not even go out onto the boat. We took their word for it. They burned him up, and they tossed him in the ocean, or he's in a landfill in Pacoima. I don't know, because a guy came in his mom's station wagon and took my grandpa in the middle of the night. I didn't even think he was dead.
Well,
they said close enough.
You hope.
Close enough. And as I've said famously during my sister's wedding, see, the way my family does everything is pot luck, which is my mom smokes pot and you're lucky if you get anything to eat. Thank you.
Freak out.
No, here's everyone. I can't stand pot luck. From my childhood. By the way, this goddamn potluck must have been something that was invented by a Hesher in the 70s. Because here's what it is. I'd like to have a party, but I don't feel like cooking or cleaning the house or providing any booze. So I'll tell you what. Everyone comes to the house. T, why don't you make your chili? Sometimes I'll toss a compliment in. Your chili's awesome. Everyone loves it. How about you make about 55 gallons of it? Hey, Bill, you're a scotch guy, right? Yeah, bring the scotch. And this time, do what the 17-year-old doers. It's awesome, single malt. Paul Bryan.
Hey.
I like this one, too. How about knives and forks and cups? Really? What are you going to start?
I'll bring napkins.
How about you bring napkins, knives, forks, tablecloths. Bring some foil in case I want to wrap up some of the crap someone else brought and sell it to a neighbor. For the love of Christ, you don't have napkins? You know this part where everything has to be effing farmed out?
Right.
And who's going to bring the desserts?
Uh-oh.
Tea?
Yeah. But I'm making the chili, 55 gallons of chili.
Okay, I'm not asking you to make pie. Swing by Marie Callender's on the way in and grab a baker's dozen of those. And we're going to need champagne. Hey, Bill, you want to bring champagne, too? Because we're going to have a toast. All right, awesome. Hey, by the way, don't I throw an awesome party?
You have to go out of your way, too, to tell everyone, blah, blah, blah brought this, and Brian brought that, and Teresa brought that.
Potluck wedding.
Somebody throws an effing, if one of the Corollas throws a party, it costs the people who show up the party more than it costs the Corollas.
It's very expensive.
I swear, I turn to my wife at a certain point, I go, I can't afford any more of these parties. So my mom's always, bring all the champagne, bring the stuff, everywhere, this effing potluck stuff.
How about, can you bring some chairs? It's not
bring
enough
some
chairs.
Someone's going to. Someone's going to need to pour a foundation for the house. We don't have a floor. Hey, Bob, you drive that cement rig, don't you? Yeah, bring that and bring a couple screeds and some Mexicans. Let's see if we can go ahead and pour. As a matter of fact, all I have is a plot of land in the Mojave Desert.
And by the way, we're going to need sod.
I'm going to need sod. I'm going to need plumbers. I'm going to need cement contractors. It's going to be a barn raising. And don't forget that chili. And by the way, whenever somebody pipes up, then you become the biggest a-hole in the world because the idea of the potluck is awesome. Everyone loves, that's awesome. Oh, you're going to bake your brownies. You're going to bring your chili and I'm going to bring the cups. So everything in the Corollas turns into potluck. So my sister's wedding turned into that, which is everyone had to kick in a few hundred bucks so my adult sister could marry her adult husband. And as I said, I know I've said it before, but I've said the story 100 times and I still can't get over it. When my grandmother explains how the party, how my sister's wedding spiraled into overcosts and overruns, and the example she uses with my, once in a while, someone from outside of the family runs into my family, and the problem is they're sane and right. They're normal. They're not crazy cheap. They're not obsessed cheap. So it seems like they're the weirdo.
Yeah.
You understand? Because
right.
They're the odd man out in right. The Cheapman family.
Sure.
My grandmother sits me down and says, "Phew, your brother-in-law, he started off saying everything was cool and do it your way. And then he started having demands and it got expensive." And I'm thinking, what do you want? One of those floating ice sculptures in the pool? Or what do you want? A mariachi band or
chocolate
something?
Fountain. There was milk chocolate and white chocolate.
Nope. And not the cascading champagne fountain or anything. That's what I'm expecting.
Right.
She says, and then when he said he wanted metal silverware instead of plastic, that's where I drew the line. She literally said, that's where I drew the line. As if one of the Rothschilds have come down from Richmond Mountain and demanded not to use a spork on this most holiest of days. And I thought, oh, I started to vomit and yell at the same time, and the vomit just went flying out.
Like,
I
was like,
listen, old lady, you think someone not wanting to eat like they're at the goddamn Kentucky Fried Chicken on their wedding day, you're calling that out of line and delusional?
Well, I wanted to avoid the whole thing. And for me, it's not out of cheapness. Huh?
Plastic silverware.
It's not out of cheapness. But
F that potluck. Look, anyone who's throwing a party potluck, don't throw a party. It's like you idiots that buy powdered milk. Don't have kids.
Right.
If you can't handle making a couple of burgers on a barbecue and getting a pony keg, then you don't deserve a party or any of the credit that goes along with it.
But back to my wedding.
Oh, yeah.
If I could make a point.
Mm-hmm.
I think, first of all, your ring is one of the first decisions that you make together as a couple. And so I'm very excited about this because it's something that I really believe in. And I hopefully people will ask me about my ring and then I can tell them, the problem with diamonds.
Right.
And as far as the party goes.
Here's how that's going to go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Is that 3 carats? That must cost a fortune.
Not really. This is a lab diamond.
Oh, sorry. Oh, Gerald, yeah, hold on a sec. Okay, sweetie, have awesome time with your plastic thing. All right, I'm coming. That's how every conversation's going
to
go.
For somebody who is desperate to have people like me and very concerned with what people think of me, I don't care.
Hold on, I've revised it. Is that a 3-carat rock on your finger? That must have cost a fortune.
No, it's actually a lab-made diamond, and nobody gets hurt.
Oh, what's your man do?
You know, he works in finance.
Oh, I thought
he's a businessman.
I thought they... Oh, okay. Harold!
No,
that's how it's going to go.
I don't care. And as far as the big party, I feel like there's resources and you decide where they're best allocated. And in my case, I would rather use that money in other ways.
All right. Drew?
Will.
I mean, yeah. Looks like it says Drew. Did I hit Will? Drew?
This is Will.
Oh, Will.
Hi, Will.
I apologize in advance for the gayness of this call, but it's incredible how much we miss you in Phoenix. I mean, I'm listening to you in California this morning, and it's like being in the presence of greatness. And you guys, your banter, it's just amazing, and I miss you so much, and you give up. And I listened to you on the internet. I'm going to miss listening to your political discussions, your marriage, and I feel like part of my family got estranged from me.
Thank
I just
tell
you guys are amazing.
Well, thanks, Will. I know everyone says it in Radio Land, but I don't exaggerate. When I talk about ratings, I believe we were number one in the morning when we got pulled off the air, and I don't even know how long ago that was, but I just assume we'd be right back on the air very quickly. Radio, look, I've explained this many times. TV people are smart and evil. Radio people are dumb and evil, which is 2 strikes, by the way. Radio is filled with some of the dumbest people I've ever met on the executive side.
You could add a 3rd strike, cheap.
Oh.
Yeah, okay, but I would just say that's an offshoot of evil. But all right, cheap, dumb, and evil. Radio, TV people are smart and evil. And then when it comes to cheap, they here's the thing. Radio guys are penny wise and pound foolish. TV guys will pay you $100,000, except for they'll make a million.
Right.
Radio guys will say, what? You want $40,000 for me to make a million? Screw you and fire you and not make their million. That's the way radio guys work. I have no idea what's going on in Phoenix. I assume that the number one morning show in Phoenix 8 months ago or 10 months ago or whatever the hell we got pulled off the air in Phoenix would have landed back on a station in Phoenix within the first 3 weeks. So I don't know what's going on over there. All I know is I listen to morning radio, and I know how bad it is, and that's in Los Angeles. I could only imagine what's going on in Phoenix and some of these other places. All right, but thank you, Will. I appreciate it. And somebody wanted to hear a mushroom story. I'll make it fast and just say this. I've done mushrooms probably 5 or 6 times. I have a lot of specific stories. Basically, it's like this. I dug mushrooms the few times I did mushrooms because it erased all the things you know about our culture and made you look at it through the eyes of a babe. A horny babe that couldn't get an erection, but a babe.
Right.
Nonetheless. And you don't realize how much of this society you have to tune out. You just don't realize it, otherwise you'd go insane. If you shook your head like an Etch-a-Sketch and there was no past in your brain, you're just brand new eyeballs from a different society and culture that had never experienced this one. Well, then you'd sit around, like I did, high on mushrooms at my buddy the Weeze's house, and you'd see a late-night commercial for monster trucks coming to the Anaheim Forum or the Anaheim Stadium, and you'd see big trucks smashing smaller cars and drunk people in the crowd standing up and cheering, and it's like, and Truckzilla's coming. And then it's a mechanical device that shoots fire and mashes trucks with its talons, and you'd think... So we're living in a society that enjoys seeing larger trucks smash smaller trucks. Not human beings, not teams, not armies, just trucks. Then the very next commercial I see is for Lee press-on nails. And I see the blood-red claws made of plastic that are being adhered to the top of the ends of the fingers of the females of our species. And I'm like... So the female human species sticks red claws to the ends of their fingers so that the male will become sexually aroused. And what is the red part? Is that blood? Is that someone else's blood? Is that supposed to be the blood that's coursing through you? And what's the claws? And by the way, sexually, claws, not a plus when I'm thinking about having sex with any animal. Hypothetically, the point is claws, not a plus when you're trying to get it on.
Sure.
You get yourself a nice scratch on your back. So you start seeing these things, and you just start seeing women applying makeup to their face and sticking on false eyelashes, and your head just explodes. It just, you just want to explode, and that's what mushrooms do. Now, when you're not high, you tune all that stuff out. You don't have time because you couldn't walk 1 foot on this planet and not stop and stare at a sign for something or stare at a woman walking by with fake silicone implants or stare at a car that had the fake spinners or the fake vinyl convertible complete with the snaps on the outside of it that look like a convertible except for it's not a convertible. Your head would explode. Foam would start coming from your mouth. That's why you can't get high on mushrooms very often. And when you do, all you can do is go to Disneyland and yell for freak out. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, as you know, we haven't done this for a while. I have a list of things I want to do before I die. Again, not before the 7 o'clock hour, before I die. I'd love to have my hands registered as a weapon in some county. I'd like to get kicked out of a casino for winning too much. You know, just stories that you could tell people. What happened with you over at the Luxor? Well, I was winning too much.
No, it starts with, hey, let's go over to the Luxor.
I can't. Yeah.
You love it.
No, they'd recognize me in a second.
What happened?
I'm too smart. And I know they play with 13 decks over there. I was able to count the cards, and I won too much, and I was asked to leave. I would like to jump into a body of water with a knife in my mouth. Like Tarzan used to do. It's a whole list of things I want to do before I die. I have a list of new ones. I have a list of old ones. T, toss out one of yours.
I'll come up with one, and maybe our callers have some.
We'll take yours, 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that next.
February 12th, the Adam Carolla Show broadcasts live from the Playboy Mansion.
Knight Rider.
For the NBC Knight Rider launch party. Go to 97.1freefm.com or adamcarolla.com and register to win tickets. Thanks to NBC Knight Rider. Premiering on NBC February 17th, 9, 8 Central. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I'm looking over my list of things I want to do before I die, and I'm intrigued. I forgot about a lot of these.
You just intrigued yourself.
I did. I forgot about this. I forgot about wipe down a gun and put it into a guy's hand.
Right.
It's one of the things I'd like to do before I die. I wipe my prints off and I put, I don't know if it's supposed to be suicide or he shot his wife and she killed, whatever it is, slowly wiping down the gun and putting it in the guy's hands. How about this? Catch a punch. Guy throws a punch, pow, I catch it, and then I start twisting his hand, and he goes down to his knees.
Like a Bison Man.
Yeah, big biker. I'd like to roll a car a couple times.
Roll it.
Yeah, just roll it over.
Okay, and then obviously you survive without a scratch.
Sure, yeah. The other four people in the car are ejected and die, but I survive. No problemo.
Unless there's things to do just before you die. Mm-hmm.
I would like to do this. I would like to play bass in an all-black band. Be the only white guy in an all-black band playing the bass.
This is the reverse of Randy Jackson in Journey.
Right. Thus being the funky white dude.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, I make my way over to the guys playing the conga drums with the funky hair.
Right.
And we have a laugh. And you don't know what it's about because you're in the audience. You can't hear us, but I'm having my moment with my conga guys.
Because you're obviously one of them.
All black dudes except for the Ace Man playing the bass. All right, now, I got some new ones, too. Here's one we discussed the other day. Pull a fake mustache off a guy at a dinner party and yell, uh-huh, uh-huh, the jig would be up. I'd like to have a hot towel on my face at a barber shop and smoke a cigar through it. I'm so committed to smoking my cigar, the barber has to work around it. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Mr. Carolla, could you put your cigar out for just like 3 minutes so I could give a shave to you? Nope. Put the hot towel around the cigar. Like flocking around a Christmas tree.
Right.
I'll have the cigar. That'll be my monolith in the middle. And then you wrap the towel around it. I don't care if the cigar gets wet because of the hot towel. I'm gonna
better.
I'm such a I'm such a big boss man that I'm going to, not only am I going to smoke in your barbershop, and by the way, barbershop's one of those places people probably don't enjoy you smoking, but I will smoke my big stogie in your barbershop, and then you can shave around it. I will not even put it in an ashtray. How about this one? Dislocate my shoulder to get out of a straitjacket.
Oh, that's good.
That's a ballsy move right there. I like to urinate on jellyfish sting.
Ooh.
It's right on the beach.
It's good for it.
Yeah, hopefully I have to go anyway, and this is a good excuse. After minute 12, enough already. I'm drowning. Hold on.
This is easily accomplishable. Just hang out on at the beach for a weekend.
Yeah, but here's
you'll
the
problem. Eventually.
But here's the problem. Okay, hang out on the beach, but then how am I going to roll my car at the beach? How am I going to get a shave with my cigar at the beach? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How am I going to get thrown out of a casino at the beach?
But you can do the knife and the teeth.
That's true. Jump into the body of water. I'd like to snap Larry King's suspenders and turn him into a pile of dust. I'd like to just hop into a cab and, follow that car.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there
nice.
Used to be a lot of... There was a day when you could communicate with cab drivers because now you could... Now if you do, if you jump into a cab at the airport and you're like, follow that car! It is not done! What is...
No.
What is no... I, hey, mention jargon. Oh, damn it. You, follow that car.
No.
What is, hold on, what is this Warrington car? Do you have luggage? No. Follow that green sedan.
No.
What is no? No cannot.
Rich on Line 6 has a very similar one, which is very good.
Well, could you imagine in the 40s, if we had the cab drivers we have today, no cars would ever get followed?
No, never.
I could lose job. I could, if I drive fast, and not only I get ticket, but knock over potpourri basket on dash. Because they're so cabs are so filled with crap now that I don't think they can drive fast anymore. Hey, Rich?
Yes.
What do you have?
I'd like to lure my arch enemy to my underground lair and order my henchmen to seize him.
Seize
him. That's good.
It's weird because you don't really think about seizing goods and properties, yeah. But him.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah, and then you say to his beautiful girlfriend as you drag your hand backwards down her cheek, such a shame. They could have really been something. And then you backhand her, and she holds her head that direction you hit her.
You tell her you know how the game is played.
That's right. That's right.
If you have thugs, it means you're a low-level union boss. If you have goons, you're a mafia boss. But when you have henchmen, you're a full-on villain.
Yeah.
Excellent point.
I like that.
Yeah.
Get him. That's right. I want him to pay. That's the other thing, too, where you explain not only to your henchmen to beat this guy up or kill him, but you want him to suffer.
Yeah, it's funny because all the things I want to do before I die are very different. Like, for example, number one on my list would be, you know, because my dad's driving the Tercel. Mm-hmm. I like to ring his doorbell up in the woods, the Bay Area, and he comes out and there's a brand new car with one of those giant red
bows.
Yeah, I don't know how they get the bow on the car.
Nice. You notice whenever the boss commands the henchman to make the guy suffer, they never get into specifics. They always know what he means. They never go, well, you want me to, like, concentrate on his torso, or should we apply pressure to his groin, or can we shoot him in the back of the head? How about this?
That's how they moved up from goon to henchman.
Yeah,
it's because they know.
Right, they know. I want to direct a movie called Awesome, so that every entertainment reporter will have to refer to me as Awesome Director Adam Carolla.
That's good.
And you know the sequel to Awesome?
What?
Hung Like a Black Rhino.
I see.
Adam Carolla.
Like a Black Rhino star.
Adam Carolla. Yeah. That's right.
Or just call it Very Talented.
Ooh, someone's got a good one. Adam, 39. Adam?
Hey, I want to dress my own war wounds. I give myself stickers in my bicep. Or if there's an arrow that was shot through me, I want to haul it out and pour gunpowder in it.
Yeah.
Light it on fire. Pound it out.
Yeah, you got to cauterize the wound by lighting the gunfire. Yeah, battle dressing on yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, or if you get wounded in Mexico, then all you have is a bottle of tequila.
Right.
You pull out the thing with your teeth, the cork,
yeah.
and you pull it out.
And it makes a slight as it hits. James?
Yes, sir.
You'd like to fight a bear?
Yes, sir. I'd love to fight a bear because a bear is really the only animal you can really fight. Another animal, you just fend off. A tiger, a lion, you fend them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a bear, it stands on two hind legs.
Right.
So you can fight it much like a man with a stone knife to prove your manhood.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. And you gotta go, yeah. And, oh, actually, I'd like to modify that, which is I'd like to fend. I don't know if I want to fight a bear because that sounds like trouble, but I'd like to fend him off with a torch.
Ooh.
Where he goes up, he reels back on the hind legs, and I grab the torch. Matter of fact, I'd like to grab anything from the fire and use it, you know, and I start swinging a log around. Yeah, get! Is this where they speak English?
And immediately before, you got to toss the thing back and forth between two hands.
Oh, I want to do that with a knife.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
All right, I just want a song written about me before I die, and not one of these Rich Bank specials that just insults me.
Well, Joseph wants sex with Teresa Strasser before he dies, yes?
Yes, sir. You'd like to.
Yes, that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have sex with Teresa. I think she's gorgeous. Adam, you're the man, though, bro. What's up?
Well, thank you. All right,
Thanks,
you go,
Joe.
T. Who wants to die happy? We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the news next.
Get the news from Teresa Strasser.
May I please have 30 seconds
to interrupt? Go ahead.
And talk to you at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, don't you talk to me like that.
Streaming the world at adamcarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
Be prepared to have your mind blown.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. All right, now my favorite part of the show, Teresa Strasser. In the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today from MSN.com.
Senators John McCain and Hillary Clinton were big winners yesterday on Super Tuesday. On the Republican side, John McCain racked up enough votes to be the very clear front runner, but of course it's not a done deal. Here is John McCain talking to supporters.
I am, as is often reported, a little superstitious. So I don't want to make any exaggerated predictions, and there's still a long road ahead. However, I think it's fair to say that we might have come a little bit closer to today, to the day when mothers in Arizona might be able to tell their children that someday they could grow up to be president of the United States.
That was John McCain.
This is it's win-win. McCain, Barack, McCain, Clinton, doesn't really matter. For some reason, Clinton freaks me out a little bit. But Barack or McCain wouldn't matter to me. It's all going to be a nice step up from what we have.
I know. It's an interesting year because all of the candidates are, you know, good to excellent public speakers and very compelling personalities, whether or not you agree with them. And I know Hillary isn't your favorite.
No, her policies, well, some of her policies bother me, but normally it's her. I believe that they're, and it's her husband, too. I believe that there's something wrong with them. I just believe they have personality disorders. I don't know what it is. My spidey sense tingles. That's all I have, basically. That's all I can do. Like, when I'm walking down the street and I see somebody coming and I think they're trouble, I'll go to the other side of the street and someone will go, that guy didn't mean you any harm. And I'll go, I know, but that's all I have.
Sure.
I don't know why. Does it make me a bad person? Does it make me a smart person? Does it make me intuitive? You're wrong half the time, but the other half of the time, you're not getting stabbed.
Well, here's Hillary Clinton talking to her supporters.
Now, we know the Republicans won't give up the White House without a fight. Well, let me be clear. I won't let anyone swift boat this country's future. And I want to thank all my friends and family, particularly my mother, who was born before women could vote and is watching her daughter on this stage tonight.
From hell. That's right. Fembot.
Yeah.
Look, here's all I know. When everybody gets whipped up, it's like, you know what I think of this country? We were like a team that perpetually, we're like an NFL team that perpetually goes 8-8. We're constantly a 500 team. Once in a blue moon, we put together a decade where we go 9-7, but we're pretty much an 8-8 perennial team. Every 4 years, we get a new head coach, and everyone goes nuts. This is it. This is our Super Bowl season.
Strategery.
I'm the guy who's sitting on the bench going, wake me up after we go 8-8 again next year. That's the way I feel about it. I never noticed the difference. I've been through quite a few guys. I was never more poor than when Reagan was in. I never had more money than when Bush was in, and it has nothing to do with either one of them.
Sure.
I just went to work. All right.
All right.
You know what I would like?
What?
You know what I would like politicians to do? I'd like, for instance, this town is covered in graffiti. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something they could do something about.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel that's my job. I don't necessarily feel like it's the cops or the ambulance driver's job. I kind of feel like it's the mayor's job.
Right.
And the city councilman's job. That's the level I'd like them to work on.
You know, you can call 311 in the city of Los Angeles for many things, such as graffiti. I used to have this when I was living in Koreatown. I had a huge white retaining wall. It was like a canvas for gangbangers. Mm-hmm. And it was tagged, I'd say, every other day.
Right.
And I'd call this number. They'd send out a guy who works for the city with a pickup truck, and he would paint it over. And one day I asked, you know, how much does the city charge every time you pay this? $250. Mm-hmm. So I did the math, and I thought, wow, they're spending, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on this one wall
right.
a year. And I called my local precinct and I said, how about we set up a camera and we just catch these guys?
Sure.
And then that camera will probably cost you a couple thousand dollars in resources and manpower, but you're saving over the course of the life of that retaining wall, you know, could be 50, could be $100,000.
Right.
No dice.
Well, we live in a city where you drive past freeway signs that have razor wire wrapped around them, so it looks like escape from New York. It's awesome. By the way, it's great for the psyche of the citizens who live in this fair city, the super high tax-based citizens who have to drive down the freeway and see the razor wire wrapped around the thing that still, by the way, gets graffitied on. Hey, here's all I know. It's all I know about this city and politics. When they want to get something done, they get it done. When they don't, they don't. They say, well, what are we supposed to do about potholes? And what are we supposed to do about graffiti? And what are we supposed to do about education? Well, you got your left turn arrows all figured out. You got all the cameras set up in every intersection all figured out.
Figure out how to boot your car.
they put a Denver boot on your car, and if somebody wants to build an addition on top of their garage, you got that figured out. So which is it? Are you just sort of flaccid and retarded, or are you super efficient? Well, I would argue you're two people. You're super efficient when it comes to removing the money from the pockets of the people that pay the taxes, but you're super sloppy, retarded, and lethargic when it comes to stuff that doesn't involve us paying you money. That's the part that pisses me off. Because if you were just super lazy, sloppy, and lethargic like you are with everything that involves not getting you money, then that'd be fine. I just go ahead and add my garage on and then have to deal with your building and safety guys. But you guys are on top of your game when it comes to that. You see, when I get pulled over, the cop has a computer in his car and he just types in my thing and everything I've done in the last 20 years will pop up in that computer. But there's nothing you can do about graffiti. Well, I say you can do something about it, and I say we start getting demanding about it. Villaraigosa, if you're listening, roll off of that reporter you're on top of. I don't know what language magazine she's working for, but roll off her and do something about graffiti, you puss. Jesus Christ. It's depressing.
It really is.
It's the things that I pay for. Look, I don't care. I know we're squandering billions of dollars in Iraq, and I know we have educational systems that don't work, and I know everything's a nightmare. But when I hit a pothole while I'm staring at the graffiti, I get pissed. Sorry.
There's also a theory, and I might be botching it, but it's called something like the cracked window theory, where neighborhoods that you see cracked windows and things look a mess and there's graffiti, there's more crime, because it communicates that this is a place where lawlessness is acceptable.
Right.
So if you want to knock off a house here, this is the place.
Sure. It's so easy for smart people to figure out. I just wish these a-holes would do something. All right. Sorry.
Well, this year, the debates have been getting huge ratings on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to find the candidates very engaging. Perhaps that's because there is a wide and broad level of disdain for the current president, Mr. Bush. Craig Ferguson was talking about him last night.
I even stated on this show, I regret it now, but I said there were rumors that the president was drinking again. And now, it's not true, or maybe it is. I can never decide. Take a look at this clip. See what you think.
There will be many celebrations of Cinco de Mayo. There's going to be a lot of traditional music. A lot of pretty good Mexican food.
What'd they do? Just slow it down?
They just slowed it down.
Good time.
Apparently you sound drunk if they just slow your voice down.
Don't mess with Texas.
Yep.
Okay, well, one of the problems with Hillary Clinton, as you mentioned, that some people don't perceive her to be sincere. RadarOnline.com has just dropped a list of the 50 most sincere-seeming celebrities. That means the celebrities people perceive as being real, as opposed to just being out there trying to sell something or get as much exposure for themselves as they can.
Mm-hmm.
The top vote-getter...
George Hamilton.
Same first name.
George Clooney.
That's right.
Damn it.
Followed by Matt Damon.
What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's their take on Clooney. Quote, he may actually be as cool as the dominant alpha male he plays. He's got an old school air about him. Plus that Darfur stuff is for real.
Yeah, okay. I'm with him. Except for his track record with women. That
right.
makes me think he's a little bit of a BS artist.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
But other than that, yeah, I'm with you.
He was followed by Matt Damon.
All right.
The highest ranking female, Jennifer Garner.
Well, that's just because she seems nice and sort of unlikely.
She does seem very sweet and open.
Right.
And she was followed by another Jennifer Aniston.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't get her.
I don't either.
She's cute, but if Jennifer Aniston, and by the way, these people get worked on. Now, I'm not saying they go under the knife, but I just mean they have dietitians and personal trainers, and they get their hair done, and they get their teeth straightened and whitened, and sometimes they get their nose shaved down, and they get their boobs lifted up. If Jennifer Aniston was in your high school when you were growing up, she would be one of the cute girls that was in your high school. She would not be the belle of the ball. She would not be the one that everyone went after or used as an example. You know, guess who's dating Becky Anderson? Wouldn't be any of that stuff. It'd just be she'd be the cute one who you thought you might have a chance at. As far as her ability, She seems to be a solid actress, her and many other women in Hollywood. I don't make a distinction between her and half the other folks are in Hollywood. And so in the looks department, she's solid, but so is everyone else. And in the acting department, she's solid, but so is everyone else.
How does someone who had a nose job and then denied it or evaded it for a decade rank as the second most sincere female celebrity?
She comes, I think she's probably had more than one nose
job.
That's
what I'm talking about.
You know, here's the thing about Jennifer Aniston. I think she's won over American women because she was dumped by Brad Pitt.
And then
he turned around and went and had a child right away after those two hadn't bred with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. Something's up with her.
That had to hurt.
So if you have a nose job and you lie about it, you can't be the most sincere woman on the list.
Yeah. Well, some of the other people who made the list, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Is he sincere or is he just nuts? You know, because when you're nutty, you can't lie.
Right. Yeah.
You'll just sit there. Like, you talk to nutty guys at parties and they're standing there and they're like, well, they'll go like, oh, you have twins? And you'll go, yeah, I got twins. Oh, yeah, Sheila and I, well, she was pregnant, but then she aborted when she was on the bathroom. She thought she was making a number two, and the girlfriend's like looking at him going, what the F? And you realize he's nutty, and he can't lie.
No filter.
Nutty guys don't have filters and thus can't lie, or they do crazy lies about them being from different planets and stuff. That's a certain kind of
but
nutty.
But they think they're telling the truth.
He seems nutty enough not to be able to lie.
Right. Some of the other people on the list, Robert Downey Jr., Philip Seymour Hoffman, Samuel L. Jackson.
Three name guys.
So strange.
I know. Mm-hmm. How about Jeff Tweedy? Isn't he the lead singer from Wilco? People seem to think he's authentic.
I'm nowhere near cool enough to know that.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd, all right.
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss?
Yeah.
Most sincere?
Seeming. I know. There's another athlete.
What's up with these lists, by the way? I mean, I don't know what to make of them anymore. Randy Moss was formerly one of the scummiest guys in the NFL. He cleaned up his act a little bit as he got a little bit older and he got with a team that wouldn't tolerate his shenanigans anymore. But why Randy
Moss?
He's
currently got, was it a restraining order? He's under some sort of legal trouble as we speak. It came out the week of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think some people who are troubled but perceived to be honest about their trouble make the list, like Janice Dickinson.
Robert Downey Jr. is that guy. He's a really nice guy, and he's a really sincere guy, and he's been through a lot of trouble, but he'll look in the eye and tell you about it. So I understand that. Janice Dickinson, I think, is a little bit of an act, and I'm not buying it.
Well, you were just on Kimmel with her.
Yes. I like her, and I like the fact that she's outspoken and whatever, but do you ever... Let me say this. You know when you see, you're having a dinner party or something and you think the kids have gone off to bed and the little 7-year-old girl comes in and does a little, I'm a little teapot, short hands up, and you think, oh, that's the cutest thing in the world. And then you walk into the bathroom and you see her doing it for another group in the den and you think that little bitch is up to something now. At first it was really sincere and really cute and then you realize she knows. See, when you think she doesn't know what she's doing, it's like when Goldie Hawn is playing a ditzy chick from the 60s and 70s, you go, oh, that's cute. And then you realize she's smart. And it's all an act. And now it's shrewd and you don't buy it anymore. I feel that way about Janice Dickinson. I feel like she caught on early and often that this whole outspoken, outrageous diva thing was people liked her for it. And now that's become her act.
I agree. Plenty of those people on the list, Janice Dickinson, Samuel L. Jackson, have a persona that they play to.
Right.
And that strikes me as the exact opposite of sincere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you.
I guess it sells. Now, here's some that are, I think you would agree. Susan Sarandon, she seems sincere.
Yeah, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Ivanka Trump?
No.
No. Well, there's sincere, and then there's my S doesn't stink. You know, Susan Sarandon has that, I'm sincere, and I'm sincere enough for all of you. I know what's better. There's a little bit of that, I know what's going on.
Kate Winslet?
Strikes me as yes.
Yeah.
And Uma Thurman makes the list.
Can't figure her out.
Uma?
No.
She seems sincere. I can see why she made the list. She doesn't do a lot of talk shows. You don't see much of her.
Not interested.
I always have a sneaking suspicion that those who stay away from the talk shows don't want to be exposed. Uma Thurman is one of these blondes that doesn't look like Pam Anderson. She looks very interesting. She doesn't look like a ditzy blonde. She looks like a very interesting blonde. As a matter of fact, if you bring Pam Anderson home, everyone goes, oh, I see, son. I see what you're doing. But if you bring Uma Thurman home, they're like, she's beautiful. She's striking. But all of a sudden, you become smarter with being this blonde. I do believe that there's a handful of celebrities like Uma Thurman, like Robert De Niro, Keanu Reeves this way. Secretly, 65-watt bulbs. Everyone thinks they're floodlights, and they like to keep it that way. And there's nothing worse than these guys going on one of these shows and sort of being exposed. They start talking about a topic they don't know too much about. They try to make a joke that doesn't exactly work. And then all of a sudden, Robert De Niro, not so interesting anymore.
They're savants. I mean, even my beloved Daniel Day-Lewis, I saw him on Oprah. And you're right, I don't think of him as maybe a super intelligent guy, but a genius in one particular aspect, in this case, acting. Same with De Niro. You wouldn't say he's a wizard, but he definitely is a genius when it comes to acting.
It'd be like you, not a jack of all trades, but when it comes to masturbating to Carson Palmer.
Not...
Nobody
Why
does
limit it to Carson Palmer? There are plenty of other Heisman Trophy winners.
Nobody does it better than you.
Speaking of people that Brian's intimately acquainted with, or with whom he's intimately acquainted, Sam Lutfi, your former roommate.
Yeah.
In the news, again, a copy of the restraining order.
I don't have any friends named Sam, by the way.
Why?
And I'm proud to say it. I don't trust him.
His name's Osama.
His name's Osama.
Oh, well, there you go.
I would go with Sam.
Osama made plane reservations for a bunch of buddies of mine and me for a bachelor party in October 2001. Imagine that we got randomly selected for security every time we went through the airport. Guy named Osama's got your ticket in his hand.
I don't trust Sam's or Osama's. I don't have any friends named either one of those things.
Well, I'm not sure if Britney does either. A copy of the restraining order that Britney Spears' parents took out against Britney's so-called manager, Sam Lutfi, hit the web yesterday. It's pretty wild. It was Britney's mother, Lynn Spears, who filed the order, and she makes some heavy accusations against Sam, mainly that he was keeping Britney drugged and verbally abusing her. Lynn's declaration to the court centers around the evening of January 28th. When she and a friend named Jackie went to Britney's house for an intervention, they found Britney speaking like a little girl.
By the way, can I just say this? It cancels it out. If I'm drugged, you can verbally abuse me. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe it'll hurt more.
I don't You're think vulnerable. So. No, I've been drugged before. The words bounce right off. Sticks and stones when I'm drugged, baby. You know, if you say, kept her lucid...
And then abused her.
Gave her pots of black coffee and then verbally abused her. That's one thing. But drugged? Listen, you drugged. It's like saying he was drugged and then his chest was cut open and his organs were exposed. Yeah, that's what happens when you go into surgery. You can do anything you want.
Allegations are that he grinds up the pills. And those pills are both antipsychotics used to treat schizophrenia and bipolarity.
Good times.
Didn't
Tesla discover that?
Who?
Bipolarity.
Have you ever had a buddy that you thought you knew and you're good buddies with and it comes out there are a lot of horrible things about him? I'm kind of in trouble. Sam's a good guy. You know what I mean? Like, I have to explain to people, like, you know Sam Lutfi, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, good guy.
Don't defend guys named Sam. Now, chicks named Sam are hot. Guys named Sam are not to be trusted. Mm-hmm. All right.
All right. This just in. The reports are in on Heath Ledger, accidental overdose. That is the toxicology report on the death of 28-year-old actor Heath Ledger.
All right. No suicide.
Well, the New York City medical examiner has finished the toxicology report following the death of Heath Ledger and has just ruled that the actor's death was caused by acute intoxication by the combined effects of, and then there are a bunch of drugs, including what looks like Vicodin, Valium and others. This is basically what Dr. Drew said when he was here. He said that he thought that what had killed Heath Ledger was a combination of sleeping pills, cough syrup, you know, with opiates and other assorted
drugs.
He was
basically claimed by the lightweight reaper. He's a lightweight. I mean, I don't want to sound like a jackass. This is the reason why this is a cautionary tale and you're not supposed to do drugs.
Right.
I know people who have done enough drugs to kill a racehorse and they're fine. they're driving a minivan right now with their seven kids in it.
Sure.
And then there are people that do a couple of lines of blow and fall over.
Right. Yeah. And especially with your pharmaceuticals, you think because they're prescribed that you can play fast and loose and have a Xanax and then a Valium, then an Ativan, then you can't sleep and you have a Lunesta. And some people cannot mix.
But I guarantee that if you would have given the exact same combination of drugs that killed Heath Ledger to Jeff Conaway in 1985, Jeff Conaway would have went back to his job driving a steam shovel with no problem. He just showed up at work that day. Hey, how you doing? Tip the hat and jumped right in the back of that skip loader and driven it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You could have done more. I'll bet you've done more on any one given weekend than what killed Heath Ledger.
Here's the thing. I'm a lightweight, but I know I am.
Right.
So, you know, I might take half a Xanax and have a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
It's mommy's medicine.
Look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Heath Ledger. It's why you can't mess around with drugs. Because you could be Jeff Conaway or you could be Len Bias.
Right. Yeah. And there were a lot of reports.
I guarantee
about,
Jeff Conaway's done more blow than Len Bias ever did. But,
well, yeah. The story on him was that was the first time he had ever done cocaine.
Right.
He just dropped dead.
Pow.
I'll just briefly tell you that there were a lot of reports about Heath Ledger's insomnia. And he was also taking a sedative called Restoril, which is used by people with debilitating insomnia. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be hardcore stuff.
Right. All right. Good times. Hey, someone's on the phone, by the way. Hey, Mark.
Adam.
What's happening, Mark?
What is up? I am the biggest fan.
Really?
I listened via podcast calling from Boston. I've been dragging my sorry ass around for a few days.
That town must just be covered in a black, wet tarp.
I can't watch ESPN. I can't listen to the sports shows. Like, nothing. I got nothing. I'm out. Fortunately, I've got some, political scene to keep my head above water.
Well, I gotta say, it was incredible because all the sportscasts leading up to the Super Bowl were talking about Brady, best of all time. Where does he rank? Certainly in the top three of all time. Where do the Patriots rank? It was as if they'd won the Super Bowl before they played the Super Bowl. It was, well, Brady's got four rings. The Patriots have four rings. Brady with four rings, never losing a Super Bowl, has to be ranked somewhere between Montana and Bradshaw, and the greatest of, it was as if the game was played, and I sort of bought into it too. I was like, well, I guess Brady, best of all times. And the Pats are 500 in Super Bowls now, and I think they're going to win next year if it's any consolation. And I'm actually waiting for when New York or Boston goes to play each other again, because I'm going to take the Pats and the points on that game.
So devastating.
I know. But listen, buddy, you got your Celtics. You have your Red Sox. You guys are getting soft. You've lost your edge. You know what happened? Let me tell you what happened to the Boston sports fan. You guys became like Mike Tyson. You grew up. That's right. You grew up on the mean streets of Boston, Mass. You were hungry. You're starving for a win. And all of a sudden, you got fat and sloppy. And you got a couple of Bengal Tigers to play with in the swimming pool. And the next thing you know, you're getting beat in the ring.
Hitting the banquet circuit.
You guys got to do what they did in Rocky 5 through 19, which is you got to get back to the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Had a buddy say it was like when his dog died.
and
I had a dog die. It's a word. It's what it feels, exactly what it feels like.
All right. Well, we're going to try.
Fan.
We're going to try to heal those wounds for you, Mark.
Oh, man.
Good times there, brother.
All right, Adam. Thank
You'll
you.
Be back. And look, you got the Celtics this year. Come on now.
Come on.
That's what I love about
it. Hang in there and look at the bright side.
Boston fans, so miserable. All right, that's the news.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's news today. Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today?
Sorry, T.
Alan Covert is waiting in the wings. That's why we got to wrap it up. Strange Wilderness in theaters as we speak. Alan is one of the guys that is in Adam Sandler's little stable. Got a handful of guys. I'm trying to infiltrate that, but I can't seem to make my way in. Perhaps copious amounts of oral on Alan Covert will
never
be
never hurts.
That'll be my golden ticket in. Speaking of golden, we're going to do something else too, Alan.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. Alan Covert. Next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters now, Strange Wilderness.
This is it? Our entire voiceover for our show on Bears is written on a cocktail napkin?
Yeah, we wrote it last night at PJ Mahoney's.
That's great. Bears derive their name from a football team in Chicago. No, wrong. It is estimated that bears kill over 2 million salmon a year. attacks by salmon on bears are much more rare. All right, that's got to be true, right?
And now, Alan Covert is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Alan.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I'm tired from yelling during the commercial break at Alan. I do most of my talking off the air.
Why were you yelling at me?
I'm animated. I'm turning into an old Jew whose food is cold. I don't know what happened to me.
I think when you get older, you just talk louder. Because last night, my wife kept saying to me, "Why are you yelling?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "You just talk so loud." I said, "I'm getting deaf. I'm old." You know?
I know it's weird. It's like you've tuned yourself out, so you have to talk louder so I can hear my own complaints.
I'm sick of even hearing my. I'm even sick of myself talking.
Well, what were you talking about to your wife that you were that your volume was raised?
I don't even know. I think I was talking about the idiot on American Idol.
Yeah,
just I and that's just could be anyone.
What the bloody hell?
Well, you women that marry comedians, what do you think we're going to do? Go to the internet, steal a few jokes, and then go do our set somewhere? Or are we just going to complain about every single thing that passes before our eyes?
Lick the peanut butter, lick it!
Because I can't stop. And the problem is when you try to go on vacation with your wife, and you've already gone into full complaint, DEFCON 5, on the way to the airport.
You've actually written a new half hour on the way to the airport.
Yeah, and they give you that look, is this how it's going to go? Because this is what I'm trying to get away from. This is why I want to go to Maui.
Here's what I get all the time. I had to marry the funny guy. It's like, well, you knew that I was inappropriately
I'm sure that was attractive at one time.
Yeah, yeah. Until she's like, you know, 5.5 months pregnant and I'm making fun of her.
But
for being fat?
No. She's not fat. I make fun of her for weird smells and strange things she says.
I think what happened was is maybe they married the funny guy who told jokes. Now they just have an angry, vitriolic, you know, you become like some comedian who's just up there who was reading his court transcript.
Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, Lenny
I become like Lenny Bruce the final months.
She married Robin Williams and realizes she's living with Lenny Bruce, though.
That's right.
It's a difficult transition.
Yeah, it's like, what happened? She didn't, you know, most women just do not realize that all comedy comes from extreme pain, anger, and bitterness.
Right. She's wondering where the wacky voices are
that
you used to do and the impressions.
Yeah, she's like, be the Michael Jackson guy from The Wedding Singer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Well, let's get back to that for a second.
Okay.
So I'm seeing here that you went to NYU. Our own Teresa Strasser went there as well.
Did you graduate?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you got one up on me.
Really? My the dropouts dad, do much better.
My dad still wants a refund.
Is NYU the top of the tote board as far as schools that were attended and never finished? I don't feel TCU has that or even Arizona State, even though they have dumb people. I feel like NYU, maybe it's because it's in the middle of the city.
That's right.
Or what is it about everyone I know went to NYU for a couple of semesters and that was it?
Yeah, well, a lot of people go to check out the film school or the drama school.
Woody Allen dropped out of the film school.
I think Spike Lee graduated.
He might have dropped out or might have graduated. But I think if you're in the middle of New York City, you have other options. Whereas if you're, say, in Madison or a college town or Santa Cruz, maybe there's not as much enticing you.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, in Manhattan, it was like, I can go to math class or I can go to that after hours club that just opened at 10 in the morning.
Right. And do some anal poppers.
Were you doing comedy in New York City when you were in college?
Oh, no. I was a serious theater student.
Well, so the plan was to go to NYU from where? Where did you start out?
I started out down in Florida.
And you're going to go to NYU, and you're going to major in theater.
Yeah.
And you meet Adam Sandler the way.
We met, actually, a lot of us that still work together at Happy Madison all met there. I met Sandler, and it was one of those things where my advisor, I guess it is, he was trying to tell me what I needed to take to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was history, and I went, well, there's history of comedy. Does that count? And he said, no. And I go, well, I'm going to take that anyway.
You know what? I'd like to be an advisor just so I could go, hey, you know what you need to take to graduate? And they go, what? And I go, a chill pill. And then I laugh hysterically. That would be my move as an advisor. So you meet Sandler.
Yeah, we met in a comedy class, and him and I thought that we both thought we were funny, and everyone else in class
You met
hated
in
us.
The history of comedy
yeah,
class?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was really, in a way, a lot like me and Kimmel's relationship. if Sandler had decided to go off and do his own network show and never invite you on.
Right.
And then never do any projects that involved you.
Yeah, but instead what he does is he makes me, like, gain weight or shave my head, and then he beats the crap out of me in movies.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a little humiliating, but, you know, it's okay. It's a living.
Right, because the thing about Alan... Well, what was your heaviest? Because you were in...
Mr. Deeds.
Mr. Deeds,
I weigh about 180 right now. Mr. Deeds, I think I was 220.
Yeah, you were huge, and that's the one where we beat the crap out of you on the sidewalk. Yeah.
And I actually was injured during the
beating?
Yeah, during the beating.
So you meet Sandler, you guys decide to do what, and what do you do when he goes off to Saturday Night Live?
I was out here just, you know... hitting the pavement, doing auditions, trying to get commercials, waiting tables.
And when he goes to Saturday Night Live, you think, well, I'm happy for him, but that's it for us.
Oh, God, no. I knew he'd be, you know, it was like he'd be on Saturday Night Live, but he'd call me like every night and go, what do you think of this skit I wrote? And then he'd call me the next day and go, didn't get on again.
Oh, really? yeah.
So it was a lot of that where, like, you know, he'd call and run skits by me and we'd talk about them and stuff.
And did he leave to do movies or were they kind of cleaning house over there? Do you know that real story? Because it's always hard to tell with Saturday Night Live who they cut loose versus who moved on.
Here's how smart they were. They fired Spade, Farley, and Sandler.
Right.
They decided, you know what, let's get rid of the three funniest guys on the show. Because I think Schneider had already left. But they were in a transition period. So they, I don't know if they can actually, if I, you know. I don't know if they were fired, but...
They were not renewed.
They weren't, yes, they weren't brought back. But it was like, Sandler was shooting, we were shooting Happy Gilmore at the time. So it was like, well, I'm making movies.
So be it, right?
So be it.
Yeah, somebody should put together a coffee table book of super successful people that were cut loose.
Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, at least he's nuts.
Yeah.
He has a horrible gambling problem.
Yeah, but how about the fact that they fired him for OJ jokes? I mean, all of a sudden, that's the taboo on SNL. You're not allowed to make fun of OJ.
Look, Tina Fey is great, and everyone over there is great was great, but no better news than when McDonald used to deliver it. That was the best.
And wasn't he pulled off Weekend Update in the middle of the season?
Yeah, I think he was pulled off the whole show. I don't know.
Yeah, although he doesn't know it, so don't say anything.
He still thinks he's on the show.
Okay.
No, he shows up for dress rehearsal every Saturday.
Not Saturday. Yeah. He shows up Sunday.
Yeah, I'm here for rehearsal.
Can't get in the building.
Hey,
swiping his key card over and over.
I couldn't get back in the country from Canada. I love Norm. He is the funniest.
Everybody loves Norm.
That sounds like a show.
It really does. I'm trying to think. He's the Hollywood Henderson of comedians, meaning all the,
that guy sounds hot.
All the talent, all the speed, all the ability in the world. Too bad he only went to one Pro Bowl and had a short season.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's not a person in the business that doesn't say Norm MacDonald. It's funny too, actually, because Norm MacDonald does not pose any threat to other comedians. He's like a heavyweight who's doing life. So you can go, that guy's the toughest guy, because you're never going to have to see him in the ring because he's too high and too drunk and too out of it.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, he's too nuts to ever pose any competition.
But also his stand-up, it's not like someone could go, oh, my God, he's stepping on my act.
That guy sounds hot.
his stand-up is just so... unique that it's not like anyone's doing what he does.
He's going to be on our show tomorrow.
Is he really?
Norm.
No, he isn't.
Yeah, Angie just messaged me.
Are you
hanging outside the building at all times.
Are you high, really?
We're going to let him up.
Are you serious?
He's outside
high
right
and
now.
Serious.
Wow.
Yeah, you acted like those were exclusive.
I know. I can be both. Please don't pigeonhole me.
Wow.
Look at that. This is just a preview. I'm just Norm's opening act.
Pigeonhole.
That's what I did for Sandler, too. It's opening act.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, pigeonholing sounds like a great gay move. I don't know if it exists in the gay lexicon, but I'd like to introduce it.
I'm sure there's in some weird... I'm sure if you punched in pigeonhole.com, you'd have 40 websites right now.
Right out of
Germany.
That
would make you want to take a shower.
Two girls and a pigeon.
Oh, there you go. Bring it up. Two girls in a pigeonhole cup.
Alan Covert is in studio. Strange Wilderness is the name of the movies in theaters as we speak. And
yes,
Alan, how about you hang out with us? Because
I'm here.
You were talking to your wife who was telling you to stop speaking so loudly last night about American Idol. We're going to get into some American Idol.
Oh, okay.
And you hang out and we'll make fun of it together.
That sounds good to me.
Hopefully your wife's listening. Take a quick break. Back with Alan Covert next.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
And you
and you, you're gonna love me. Yeah.
It's time to recap last night's American Idol on the Adam Carolla Show.
Alan Covert in studio, Strange Wilderness, name of his movie. He's going to hang in with us because he saw American Idol last night as well. T has her clips. Can I ask you this quickly? Randy Jackson.
Yeah.
Was fat for the first 9 seasons.
Yeah.
And I treat American Idol like dog years.
Yes.
Right. I know technically they're in season 5. It feels like 17 to me. Yeah. I feel like this has been going on since I was in high school. Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember a day when there wasn't American Idol. He was fat for like the first 3 seasons.
Yeah.
Then I think he got the staple.
That's what I
think
heard.
He got the gastric bypass thing, but somehow remained fat for another year and a half, and now he's thin.
Fat arms.
Is he thin?
Well, something's up.
He's a big man, though.
He's a big guy. He thinned out. I mean, most of the folks have the gastric bypass, and you can literally see the weight falling off them as they're walking. He seemed to keep it going for about a year, and now this year seems skinny. So maybe, I'm not sure what happened.
I don't know. It's slow staple. Maybe just like one staple at a time.
And look, I'm not trying to sound racist here, but if you're black and you play the bass, don't worry about losing weight. We'll accept you the way you are.
Racist. That's just, I think that's basist.
That's basist. Much,
every bass player should be fat.
I'm just saying, brothers, don't bother. I'm telling you, we'll take you the way you are. White guys get fatter, black guys turn into bouncers. You know what I mean? We're not going to bother with you.
He'd find that comforting.
I think he would.
He was rocking the T-shirt last night, and that's tough with the big arms.
But again, when you're a white guy, your arms are pink and you have stretch marks on them, you know the guy's fat. I couldn't tell if he'd been working out or on the creatine. Like, it looked like his arms were just big, not fat. Do you know what I'm saying?
He's pulling it off.
Who, Randy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks good.
And you're a fan of the show, Alan? You watch with your wife?
Yeah, I'd never watch it. See, you know, I literally had never seen it until 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently what I read in a book about relationships was, pick a TV show and watch it together.
So you and your wife chose Idol?
Well, she loved American Idol, and then I got to admit, I saw one episode and was like, I get it. I am addicted.
We watch Cheaters and Divorce Court. That is our weekend. And occasionally we turn on Oprah and we'll have Dr. Oz trying to explain that someone should drop a digit in my tuk eye to check my whatever in the shower, and no can do.
Gosh, I've banned Oprah from my house.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't. I got sick of coming home and going, honey, you know what we need to do? And I said, yeah, we need to stop watching Oprah.
Right.
Because I'm sick of all these weekend seminars and things she's telling you got to take me to.
Yeah. She's a poisoner. She poisons the minds of women.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We're supposed to be doing more. We should be doing more.
I do what Oprah tells me, and I don't question it. Should I read Eat, Pray, Love?
So you voted for Obama yesterday, then?
I do what Oprah says in most areas.
All right.
In most areas. All right. Last night, American Idol went to Atlanta. See if they could find their next superstar. Now, I think we were just talking during the commercial. You missed this guy, Josiah.
Yeah.
He was toward the end.
But I dig the name.
Yeah, I saw him.
He was the big closer. He's an 18-year-old blonde baby-faced kid. He lives in his car. He'd run away from home to pursue his dream. And he told the judges that he was going to sing a song he'd written. That's always a risk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's called To Run.
I showed up at her door. No gifts or explanations for the way that I'd been acting. Father time just kept on passing. I tried to kiss her lips. She said, let's put an end to this. A simple overreaction.
I tuned into this and I thought they were going to give him the thumbs down.
I thought so too, but here's what they said.
Sing me Chasing Cars.
And if I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world?
They liked him a little bit better doing this Snow Patrol song than doing his original. And here's what the judges had to say about him going to Hollywood.
I like you. I'm not sure I wouldn't love you more in a band. I usually don't like people from, where are you from? Morristown, Tennessee. Singing with British accents. I don't usually like that, but
I think you're holding back. I think there's a lot of personality as a front man in you that we haven't even begun
to see. Randy, yes or no?
Oh, that's an interesting angle, Paul. I've never heard from you.
Hold up.
I said yes.
I think there's a lot more in you that we haven't seen yet. I feel like with a couple of Vicodin.
He sounds like the lead singer of Panic at the Disco.
He was a little blonde guy. I think they passed him along because he was cute. And
lives in his car. He has a good backstory.
You know, he's got a good story. So.
Yeah, but I saw his car was a 07 Lamborghini Murcielago. It's a $250,000 vehicle.
That was strange. I thought that was strange.
Plus, there's a super hot model that lived in the passenger seat of the car. So I don't feel sorry for this kid at all. Lived in his car.
Living in his car. Then they showed him driving off in his house into the distance. Brooke Helvey, 18 years old. She is Miss South Florida Fair.
Oh, yeah. I've been to the South Florida Fair.
She's from Wellington. Do you know Wellington, Florida?
Yes, yeah. It's weird because the fact Wellington is actually where I grew up down there in West Palm Beach. And I was very mortified and excited to see someone from my hometown on that
show. If you could describe her appearance...
Very well, like she said, she wanted to prove that pageant girls can sing. Wellington is a place where they have polo.
Yes, like, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Mm-hmm.
But she was also Miss South Florida Fair, which is like where they have the freak show and the world's biggest pig. So it's like
she's very confused. I have been to those. Don't get me started, but I had to do a gig once where I was at one of those places, and you don't realize like. You don't realize there's Florida and then there's Florida.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up just sitting here in Southern California watching Let's Make a Deal, seeing people sent off to sunny Florida, right. to Orlando for vacations, going to Disney World. I didn't know the real Florida. I didn't
know a lot of people do.
I know the toothless hillbilly fishing off the bridge while cars sped by, dirt on the floor. Florida. I didn't know that Florida.
Yeah. See, that's the Florida I grew up in.
Wow, yeah.
I swear to you, I have three cousins, Ronnie, Donnie, and Lonnie.
Wow. I love that. I love when people do that. Well, I once had a very uncomfortable conversation with Kimmel about that.
Yeah.
Because I got a buddy named Ray, and his brother's name is Ronnie, and his other one, his name is Richie, and his other one's name is Ron. Wait, is it Ron, Rich, Ray, and Rob? Yeah. All right. And I was explaining to Jimmy what a J-O my buddy Ray was because his stupid family decided it'd be a great idea to name every kid with a letter that started in the first letter and the blah, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'll tell my dad, Jim, and my mom, Joan, and my brother, John, and my sister, Jill, that next time I see them. And I was like, oh, geez, I've known you for 10 years. And I never put that together.
Well, at least they had the same letter. My cousins, they just rhyme.
Either way, yeah. Same effect. Let's hear Brooke meet the judges.
Now, you want to prove to me that pageant girls can sing?
Yes. You just caught a pageant performance.
Did you win a pageant?
I'm sorry?
You won a pageant?
I am Miss South Florida Fair. I'm from Florida.
What a surprise.
Okay, but look how you're standing. One foot in front.
I have
Paula,
no problem.
I'm telling you, I'm on your side. I want to help you prove him wrong. Okay.
Thank you. She's back on the nose candy or something.
She refilled her prescription.
Yeah. One foot forward, two steps back.
Okay.
Yeah, her voice is sounding compressed again.
A little slurry.
Something's up.
Something's up, and those are always the best episodes.
Hey, they're on a road trip.
Sure.
You know, when she gets back to Hollywood, she'll
straighten right up.
Straighten up, yeah.
Thank God she has a job that requires nothing of her.
Alan, did you see before the Super Bowl her Dance Like There's No Tomorrow video?
No, I missed that.
She can still move.
I'm sure she can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like she's 100.
Yeah. She's
not Carol Channing out there.
She sounds like her, though.
A little bit.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
So were you thinking that Brooke, your hometown girl, could sing when you saw her? Or were you thinking she was going to suck?
No, I thought, oh, great. They set this girl up for the big suck
That's
festival.
That's what I thought.
I was so psyched for
I was
it
ready.
Too.
Can I ask a quick hypothetical?
Yeah.
This is why we never get through these segments. If Carol Channing and Larry King got together to have sex...
Ooh.
Who would break first?
Ooh, ooh.
You know what I mean? Like those motor oil commercials where they square off the synthetic against a leading brand and they just keep running the engine at 8,000 RPM until something blows. If we had some kind of head-to-head competition where Larry King and Carol Channing got together sexually and I said, keep going until either you break or a cloud of dust comes sailing from your urethra, Larry. Who would break down first?
I go with Larry, yeah.
You say Larry would break first.
Yeah, women are tougher.
Okay.
Carol Channing's tough.
Carol's got to have 10, 15 years on him, though. You know what I'm saying?
You know what's weird? You could add together all the ages of all seven of Larry King's wives, and they're still not reaching Carol Channing's
That's a good point. But you say still Larry would break down first.
Yeah.
Is there any chance that he could out-survive her?
No, that's surgically repaired. His heart, he's had, like, triple bypass, like, seven times.
But what if there was just a compound fracture of the femur and the bone? Came sticking from the leg or something, and we had to call it. You know what I mean? Somebody had to tap out.
Yeah, I'm still going Larry.
Okay.
I'm still going
Larry.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to settle it this weekend.
Will this be a pay-per-view?
Octagon, that's right.
Yeah.
Very small, very limited pay-per-view.
Well, there's a lot of Hello Dolly fans
around.
The UFU. That's a new one. Gladiator enters the waterbed. Two enter, one leaves. That's how it works.
You can do this endlessly. I mean, there are all kinds of couplings where you'd be hard pressed to bet on who would win.
Oh, the winner goes on to square off with Barbara Walters.
Yes. Yes. And then the winner of that. Wilford Brimley.
Diamond Charter. Girls, fresh, fresh.
All right, sorry. What did the beauty queen do?
Well, everyone was hoping, and Alan was even thinking it was going to suck, but here it was.
Oh. When I had you, I treated you bad and wrong, my dear. And boy, since you went away.
Okay, but it wasn't bad, I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm, and she was hot?
Yeah, she was very tan.
Yeah, well, yeah, she's, you know.
She was even
Florida. She's a pageant girl from South Florida.
Yeah.
You're right, so you start off tan because you're in Florida,
right.
You're in the Sunshine State, and then you get the sprayed on tan, so you become
right.
Like the oranges Anita Bryan is selling from the same state.
Yeah, a little bit. So,
dude, you just pulled out an Anita Bryan reference. That's
I've done a Carol. We've gotten a Carol Channing, Anita Bryan in, all the young males in our demo have driven off the road
little
at this point.
Fun fact about Anita Bryan, she was the first gay basher.
I know.
Right, that's what they say.
I grew up in Florida. I remember all that.
That's funny because I grew up in San Francisco, and I remember it from the other side. She was hated.
Yeah, she was like Miss USA 1955 or something and hated the
gays. It was something about not wanting gay teachers in schools or something. And
there was something good about it. Whatever it was, she was like a real Republican, and so much so that she hated the gays.
Yeah, she was a hater. I'll leave you with this. Brooke is going to Hollywood, but here's what Simon had to say behind her back when she left.
Possibly the most annoying person I have ever seen in my life.
Oh, yes.
Thank you so much for this. This means the world to me. I love you. Mwah.
Oh, you didn't want her to sing well.
This is so funny.
Yeah, I know you did.
Yeah. Boy, there goes.
Everybody wanted her to suck. That's, you know, that's the fun of the audition part of the show.
Well, we want good-looking people to be bad at everything. I think that's the message.
Yeah, I just like when they set them up and interview them, and they're like, all my friends say I sound exactly like Mariah Carey. I've won 37 trophies. And then they get in, and they are the worst singer you've ever heard in your life.
I know, and my feeling is I want to hang out with your friends.
Yeah, I want to know the people who are telling you, keep singing.
Well, I don't mean to take a serious note, but I really feel like most of these kids, the ones who can't sing well, are somewhere on the autism spectrum, and they can't read people's affect or face. So when they go, that was really good.
Oh,
they can't tell what's sarcasm, what's real. So they might have been told they're good.
Oh, you know what? That's a very good point, which is it's almost like they're reading a text message. When people are out of it, they don't understand. You ever do that with one of your buddies where they walk away and they go, man, that guy's going to hire me or that chick's going to F me. And you go, no, listen, buddy, you didn't hear her clearly. You asked her out and she said maybe sometime that would be great. And then she split. That didn't mean tomorrow night. That meant never.
Yeah, that's going to happen. And he thinks she said it's going to happen.
Right. And you thought her eyes rolling were because she was swooning.
You thought she had a walleye.
Right. No. She was making fun of you. Yeah, you're probably right. They can't read the affect of other people.
And when it's their parents, that's just parents refusing to tell their children that they suck.
Well, nature.
I mean, I get that.
Nature or nurture, that's where they come from. Alan Covert in studio. Strange Wilderness is the name of the movie. Hey, Alan. Your wife's still asleep, right?
Probably.
She doesn't need. Does she need you for anything? You want to hang out a little more? We're going to do a little bit called Who the F Sells This S. We went on Craigslist.
And you would not swear, Alan.
You would not believe what people are selling on Craigslist. We have adult diapers, briefs, extra winged, sealed. And by the way, I grew up watching The Flying Nun. She put a little too much starch in her habit. It formed an airfoil or a canard. Yeah. Every time a wind would kick up, she'd lift off the ground. So the wings in the underpants, not going for that, by the way. Here's someone who buys unused gift cards. Here's someone who has a bike bell. It's a metal bike bell, and it's 1 inch in diameter, and it's $2. They're selling it on Craigslist.
Isn't it called, then you have to pay for shipping or something?
Oh, no. Worse, you have to go to that guy's apartment and hang out with him.
Yeah.
And believe you me, the guy who's selling bike bells doesn't meet you in the parking lot. He answers in a bathrobe and invites you in. And you get that weird space heater smell when you walk in. You know that whoosh of space heater stink when you go into someone's apartment?
And like they kept the cat food on top of the space heater.
Someone's got organic homegrown spinach. They grew their own spinach, and they're selling it to you on Craigslist. Boys, brand new extra large blue sweatpants.
Okay, now those I could use.
$5. Get your wallet out or hit the ATM.
Is there not a Walmart near people?
That's what I scream at everybody now. Like, I understand back in the day when there wasn't a Walmart and there wasn't a Costco and there wasn't a place. People sell plastic laundry hampers or laundry baskets, small tear and bottom, $3. When you could go to Target and for $2.99 get a brand new one that's never been touched by another pair of soiled underpants.
And you could pick up a couple DVDs while you're there.
There you go. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to these people next. Carpet rate. Must sell. Sorry, no delivery.
Well, it's time to get on the phone and start scratching these people's lottery tickets. Who the f*** sells this shit? Right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Alan Covert in here from Strange Wilderness and Theaters as we speak. Some I didn't get to. Here's a golf tees. $1.
A piece?
Assortment. It's a 50-pack. Assorted colors of wood golf tees. $1. Here's one thing I know about golfers. White guys that have money.
Yeah.
They're not trying to cruise the internet trying to see if they can get themselves a break on a driver or putter. They'll go down and get the titanium one from the golf shop. We got the bike bell guy we got to talk to. We got some good ones. How about this, Alan Covert? How about some Beano to-go tablets? Food enzyme dietary supplement. Prevents gas. $2.
Are they homemade?
They were made in this guy's garage.
Because that's the only thing I can see that would, you know, make me buy those. That they are different than the ones at every grocery store and 7-Eleven near
my house. Me explain something. Even if this stuff is half price, and it rarely is, what is your time worth? You see, you go to the supermarket, you get the Beano, and you get the spinach, and you get all the junk in different aisles. You don't have to go back home, get back in your car, drive across town. Here's some toothpaste. $1.
Unused?
Unused toothpaste, $1. It's Crest. It's Whitening Expressions, it's called. It's Cinnamon Rush flavor.
Oh, well, that's rare, I think.
And also great band from the 70s. I'm seeing Uriah Heep and Cinnamon Rush over at the Troubadour. You coming? All right, so we have an intro, and we have people to talk to.
Let's find out who the f*** sells this shit.
Should we talk to the guy who sells the adult diapers or the guy who sells the bike bell?
How about adult diapers?
Yeah. All right. Let's hop on to line 7. Brian?
Yeah.
All righty then. You're selling adult diapers?
That's what I'm doing. You need some?
I'm going to in a few years. You know, it's never too early to start socking away those adult diapers. And what happened that you came across this bounty of adult diapers?
Hey, I just come across some diapers. You know, if you need some diapers.
Brian, what we're trying to say is, how did you acquire these diapers?
You know, they fell off a truck somewhere.
These are hot diapers? And I never thought I'd say that phrase.
Look, the Corollas and the Kennedys, for that matter, ran diapers around the turn of the century.
Some people ran moonshine, not the Corollas.
The Corollas ran diapers. A lot of folks ran booze. Some ran cigarettes. The Corollas said the future's in diapers. Yeah, I remember my dad, my grandfather, telling me once, I said, Grandpa, why not cigarettes? Why not run booze? He said, everyone crap. Well, he said S's. Since some people smoke, some people drink,
everybody.
And then he said S's, and then he gave me a knowing nod and went back into his crappy apartment.
I had no idea about the underground brown market.
Yeah. Now, my question is do you understand that on a different
thing?
Do you understand that you could sell these used on a different website for a lot more money?
It's a good point.
Very good point.
You get Jenna Jameson to do a couple jumping jacks in them, and all of a sudden they've gone up tenfold.
Yeah.
Hey, that's what you want to do.
Now, Brian, do you have an elderly relative with whom you live? Do you use diapers yourself?
No.
So you just have like a big garage full of diapers?
No, it's not a garage. It's like a big box full of diapers.
All right. And I'm going to guess what you do for a living. Maintenance man in an old person's home.
No.
What do you do for a living?
That would have been good.
Because I feel like one could only supplement their income selling diapers on the internet. I'm not sure if it's a full-time gig.
I'm an engineer. What do you do?
Like on a train? Like an engineer on a train?
No, like for a radio station.
Now it's coming together.
On AM or FM?
That guy sounds hot.
Which station are you on? We'll give him a plug.
Are you Ryan Seacrest?
Anderson.
What do you do? Work the graveyard shift on KLOS? Where are you at? What station?
I can't tell you the station.
Is it AM or FM?
You're on.
AM or FM?
FM.
All right. Okay. Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
So I don't have the diaper. I can't find your diaper ad in front of me.
How much for the diapers?
Oh, here they are. Yeah, $4.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a piece or for the box?
That's for a pack of 10 sealed, baby.
Do those come in sizes?
I do seven sizes. This is like a medium, so if you feel you're a medium.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how diapers work. Do they work like tube socks where it fits like 9 through 13? Or do I have to order 34 and have it tailored? You know you've arrived when you're having your diaper tailored. I had mine let out in the front. Makes my sack look bigger.
Sadly, I had to have mine let out in the back. I need more room.
Do these diapers make me look old?
Should we purchase these for our Carol Channing, Larry King?
Yes. I feel like someone's going to need a diaper.
Does this full diaper make my butt look big?
Hey, I get the diapers with the vertical stripes. It's slimming.
It slims you down.
So, Brian, how many takers have you had on the diapers?
I've had two or three.
And how would the transaction work? Would I meet you over into the at your apartment, or should I just pull the rolls out front and honk the horn?
Yeah, pull the rolls out front, because I think you should get them and send them to Larry King. This makes a great Chinese New Year present.
Brian, you sound attractive. Are you a married man?
Why do you ask?
Well, you know, if you're single, I feel like there's a lot of young, eligible women listening to a show that says, hey, there's a guy who works graveyard on an AM station and sells diapers out of his mom's apartment. Keep talking. I'm listening. Maybe we could set you up with somebody.
Sure. They make great pillows, too, and padding if you're into that.
Brian, how old are you?
Hold on a second. Before he answers, I have it anywhere between 19 and a half and 68.
That's why I'm asking. He's all over the place.
I have no idea how old he
is. Should we take bets? What do you say, Alan?
I'm saying 27.
27. So saying young, but had some hard years.
Yeah.
T, what do you think?
Ooh, I'm going to go young. I'm going to put him around. Oh, but he's an engineer.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go.
Yeah, but engineer at a radio station doesn't mean, that means
that
you spill coffee on the board.
All right, I'll go 23.
Boy, that'd be sad. I'm going to go older, and then I'm going to place a side bet that we can't get it out of him because he tells dumb jokes about it.
Yeah.
All right. Like, be prepared for
older
than Larry King. Hey, Brian?
Yes.
How old are you?
Your side bet just won.
Wacky
joke. Very ironic.
He won't tell us.
All right, come to daddy. All right, Brian. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We're going to hop over and talk to some other people that have problems bigger than yours, believe it or not. All right?
Good luck with the diapers.
Good looking out. Let's see. Bike Bell. Talk to Peter. Peter?
Yeah, yes.
You're selling a Bike Bell?
Yeah.
Now, it's one of those old-style ones, you know, put on the handlebars of the Huffy and that Bike Bell?
Yeah, yes.
What are you asking for it?
$2.
$2. And how long has this been up on Craigslist?
This posting only for 1 week, but I sell bike for almost 1 year.
No!
Mm-hmm. And would you take $1.50 for the Bike Bell?
If you buy two, yeah, about 50 for each.
Oh, you're selling many of the bike bells.
Oh, so you have more than one Bike Bell.
Yeah, I'm a business. I have a business.
Either said he had a Pyrenees or a penis.
No, a business.
Oh, you have a business.
Yeah.
But do you have a dog and a penis as well?
No.
Oh.
No to both?
No,
I only have a bike and accessories.
I see. So what else? Could I buy a sissy bar or a kickstand from you?
No, we don't have kickstand, but we have other things like fenders and pedals or cables.
Do you have one of those? Do you have like one some of those cards that you can put in the spokes and when you ride the bike it makes noise?
No.
How about the streamers? I like to hang from the grips of my handlebars. It's very colorful.
I have some grip.
But do you have the streamers? Do you have the multicolored streamers that I hang from the hole in the grips?
Oh, I don't have.
What about a basket that you put in front?
We don't carry that. We just only have some
do you have bikes?
Some accessories, not all.
How about the bikes themselves? Do you have the bikes?
Yeah, I have four different models of bikes.
Uh-huh. Do you have mountain bikes?
Yeah, I have three models of mountain bike and one model of BMX.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember that we couldn't guess the age of the last guy? I have no idea the nationality of this guy, and I'm serious. I have it between two continents. I can't even get close.
I say whatever country he's from, either we currently have troops there or there's one of those predator drones flying over it right now. Has anyone in your family been shot by a robotic helicopter that we invented?
I have a business.
Yes, Pyrenees. It's Pyrenees.
The Pyrenees, yeah.
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
Do you have those little license plates that I could hang from my back seat with my name on it?
No, I don't have that.
What? Hold on a second. You know, 5 minutes ago, the guy was a Schwinn shop.
Yeah, I have a business.
No streamers, no license plate.
Basket.
None of the important accoutrements of cycling. Well, I already got a bike. I want to dress it up. I want to pimp my ride. I don't want to buy a new set of wheels.
I want one of those really tall bags.
The sissy bar.
Yeah,
the first thing
or
I asked
a banana seat. I want a banana seat.
Peter, do you have a banana seat?
No, I only have the original seat that came with the bike. I don't have extra seat.
I see. All right. And now how does this work? Are you working out of your home?
Yeah, I put the posting on the Craigslist, and people can come to pick up in a steel hole storage, or we can deliver it, but we don't have a back store.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And have you been making money doing this?
Some model we make money, but some model we lost money because people don't like that. I don't know why.
Now, I know as a young boy growing up in Lebanon, you probably dreamed of coming to America and selling crap on the Internet.
I think he might be Asian.
Where are you from?
China.
Oh, China.
Yeah, that's why.
That's
why
I said China.
Yeah.
Oh, you're from China. Jesus Christ, I gotta recalibrate. So you're from China.
I was gonna go Israel. I gotta be honest.
But how about getting a regular job?
Regular job?
Yeah.
I don't like the regular job.
Well, I don't like it either. But I like all the crap you get when you have a regular job, like a house and a car
and
a paycheck.
And a paycheck. That's right.
You don't have those bad months.
I'm not going to do a business by my own.
I understand.
He's an entrepreneur.
I understand.
I have a business.
that's Paul Bryant playing that. All right, I'm going to let Peter go because, let me say something.
You know what's going to be?
Peter, I got a guy who's selling gourds for $5. I'm really more in the gourd market than I am in the bike bell market these days. Now, again, if you had sissy bars or the little license plates with my name on it, we could talk.
Yeah, we can try to get it in kind of products.
Mm. Trying to expand his product line.
All right. Well, why don't you do that? Why don't you look into getting some of those mini license plates? And by the way, is that when midgets go to prison, is that what they make?
They're little people.
Just, it would be funny if, you know, on one conveyor belt you had the huge black guys pounding out the California X725. Hey. And then on the other one, you had the midget pounding out the little one that said, Timmy.
Hey. Yeah. And he says that every time he pounds one. Hey.
All righty. All right. Now, guy wants unused gift cards. Someone else has pool tables.
He's buying unused gift cards or he's selling unused?
I think he's collecting them and then hammering them. I'm not sure. Now, the one guy's giving away the pool table, so I don't think he's really material for us. Ken?
Yep.
Yeah, you're giving away the pool table. You're not selling it, right?
No, I gave it away.
You gave it away.
So what was that? Just whoever called first got it?
Pretty much. I'm moving to Minnesota and just wanted to dump it.
Well, you know, it's illegal to play pool in Minnesota, so it's
sure.
A good thing you got rid of it.
Yeah,
I was hoping to get five bucks and load up on some
Beano tabs. But, yeah, you can buy adult diapers. You can buy organic spinach. There's many things you can get on Craigslist. All right, Ken.
Hey, gourds are sounding pretty good.
You're moving to Minnesota. What for?
That's where I'm from. And L.A. chewed me up and spit me out.
What'd you come out here for?
I was in real estate in La Quinta, and then I was in the wind energy business, actually. Tied in with Ed Bagley, believe it or not.
So you're from, Bagley. Yeah, that monster. So you came out here to the South Bay, you're moving back to Minnesota. It's really the same place. You're not even going to notice the difference.
Yeah, 6-1, half dozen the other. Yeah.
All right, Ken. Enjoy.
All right, man.
By the way, I like people leaving Southern California. I feel like we have too many people coming to Southern California. You know, Ken's going to pass 50 people on his way to Minnesota that are coming to take his place. Mm-hmm. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Alan.
Yes, sir.
How about you hang out? You want to hang out a little
more?
Sure. Alan Covert here from Strange Wilderness. I know. You've gotten through the tough part. Hang out with us. We're going to do some, what are we doing, Germany or Florida next? Yeah. Germany or Florida. Do we have a tease?
This is perfect because
Alan's
from Florida.
And I've been to Germany.
All right, well, this is perfect because I figured out that every bizarre story comes from either Germany or Florida. Now, I'm not talking about your run-of-the-mill homicides or the, you know, I shot my wife. This is the stuff where you cut off digits and you sautéed them and you ate them. And this is bizarre things done with barn animals.
Yeah.
All the bizarre stories. When you hear about bizarre stories, it will be out of Germany or Florida. We'll hear the story and try to figure it out. Is it Germany or Florida? We'll play it next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time to play Germany or Florida.
I give it a 5. Alan Covert in studio. And let me remind all the kiddies about the collective power of prayer. Knight Rider coming back to television, everybody.
Ooh.
Huh?
The secret works.
Now, that's right.
You attracted it.
Listen, I held a vigil. It's the eternal flame. I had a candle that never went out since Kit and Company went off the air in 1984. And now my prayers have been answered.
Yeah, but who's going to replace the Hoff?
You know who will replace? Well, first off,
you can't replace.
Yeah, I know.
You can't replace the Hoff, but you get the next Hoff.
Yeah, that's the thing. Who's the next Hoff?
I'm going
Zac Efron.
I know the next Kit. The next Kit is a hopped up Ford Mustang Shelby GT with 540 ponies under the hood. And I don't mean horsepower. I mean, they literally took horse carcasses and shoved them under the hood of the Mustang. It's coming to the air on the 17th. They got a 2-hour movie on the 17th. And then we're going to be at the Playboy Mansion doing our party on the 12th. All right. Alan Covert in here. Strange Wilderness, name of his movie. And now time to play a little Germany or Florida.
Germany or Florida.
All bizarre stories either emanating from Germany or Florida. Are we gambling on this one?
What do you think?
I'll throw some money down.
I lost all my money yesterday on gay walking, so I'll have to owe you.
Should we put up 10? Let's go 20 bucks. Okay. Do you can go 20?
Sure.
Alan, you
yeah,
good for 20?
Yeah, sure. If right, everyone goes see Strange Wilderness, I can afford this.
All right. Well, go see it, and Alan can afford to lose, although I don't think he's going to because he hails from Florida, and like he said, he's been to Germany. Let's hear the first story, Dawson.
A man was treated for serious burns after accidentally setting his apartment ablaze when he mixed up a bottle of gasoline with alcohol. The 56-year-old grabbed the wrong bottle and took a swig from the gasoline flask, then spat it out when he realized his mistake. The gas hit a lit cigarette, sparking the fire. Is it Germany or Florida?
An apartment. Gasoline in the apartment. Flask of gasoline. Seems weird to me. What's he doing with the gas inside the apartment?
In a flask.
In a flask.
Right. That seems German, but the rest of it seems Floridian.
Flask feels German. The rest feels Floridian. I agree. Smoking is kind of a push. Apartment, that's kind of a push. Alan, any thoughts?
Feels German to me.
You're going German?
Yeah, feels German.
T?
I'm going German.
You're going German. I'm going to go Florida just to be different.
It happened in Gross Godems, Germany.
Damn you, Gross Godem. And I'm from Gross Godem, too.
I'm from Dudesdorf. You're from
What do you wear over there?
Lederhosen. Lederhosen.
I don't know why. It's the funniest thing of the year. I make Dawson say Lederhosen.
I was going with Dusseldorf.
That's Dudesdorf.
Yeah. He's from Dudesdorf.
The joy he took in rolling that one out.
All right, one more time, Dawson. Where are you from, and what do you wear when you're there?
I'm from Dudesdorf, but I wear Lederhosen.
And how do you say goodbye when you're leaving Dudesdorf?
Lederhosen. Lederhosen.
It really is delightful.
I don't know why I'm so amused with that. All right, T and Alan up 1-0. Yeah. I'm 0-1. Let's keep going with Germany or Florida.
An 18-year-old woman was attacked in the bathroom of a nightclub. The woman was slashed in the face. Police recovered the victim's left nostril and gave it to firefighters who arrived to treat the victim. Was it Germany or Florida?
Wow, that feels brutal. That could go either way.
I know, nightclub made me think Germany.
And by the way, isn't a nostril sort of like a donut hole?
Yeah. I mean, how'd they find the nostril?
It's a weird thing. I guess there's a part outside, but how much nostril?
Isn't that the nose? The part outside the nostril is actually your nose?
It. Yeah, I suppose. I don't feel like there'd be much to grab, but all right. So they recovered the nostril. They sewed it back on. 18, Club T, what do you think?
I'm going to say, the nightclub thing makes me think Germany, but I'm going to have to say Florida.
Mm-hmm. Alan, how say you?
Not to be the Paula and Randy of this show, but this sounds so Florida to me.
Mm-hmm. So two Floridas.
Yeah.
Should I stay with Florida and stay down one, or should I go for broke and try to catch up and go Germany? We already went Germany.
Bet with your heart.
I use my loins normally. Actually, I use my loins to open bottles and my heart to bet with. I'm going to go Germany just to see if I can tie this baby up. So we have two Floridas. I'm going Germany. Dudesdorf, what do we got?
It happened in Leonard Skinner's hometown, Jacksonville, Florida.
Damn it. 0-2 goes the Ace Man. 2-0.
We
go
really
Alan
are the Randy and Paula.
Randy and Paula.
And T. All right, let's go to our next Germany or Florida.
A 19-year-old woman escaped from prison by hiding in a friend's suitcase. The fugitive hid inside the large case when her 17-year-old fellow inmate was released from the youth prison. The escaped prisoner had less than 2 weeks to serve. Was it Germany or Florida?
Well, I'm going to go Germany on this one. Alan, how say you?
I know for a fact that Florida is the home of most juvenile delinquent prisons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point. I'm going Florida.
Going Florida.
I'm
going
to be the Paula to your Randy and go Florida.
They have all those prison camps down there. Like the kids, they send them away like boot camp.
Yeah, I feel like if you're a bad German kid, they don't put you in a nice juvie.
Right. I love those specials, too, where the big black drill sergeant starts screaming at the lily white kid stealing cars and smoking pot.
Yeah.
And then the kid breaks down to a heap and starts crying, but no one feels sorry for him.
Yeah, and then they're just like, well, you're a crook, so go wrestle an alligator.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Scared Straight was one of my favorite movies from the 80s. Just guys screaming at people, give me your shoes. All right, so we have two Floridas, one Germany. Do you guys run the table and go 3-0, or does the Ace Man pop his head back into this game?
It happened in Neustadt, Germany.
Yes! All right, so now, Alan and T, 2-1, Ace Man, 1-2, but I think that was the last of the rounds, right? So now you guys are tied up. Yeah. And thus, the winner walks away with $60. The loser has to pay my $20 to the winner. All right.
Wait.
I'm confused, that's how we always play.
Somehow I'm losing money. I know that.
Me too.
We have a tiebreaker here, then. It's between Alan Covert and our own Teresa Strasser. Here we go.
A man tried to steal a frozen turkey by stuffing it under his shirt and pretending to be fat. He was foiled when the bird slipped onto the floor as he walked past the cash register. Officers rushed to the supermarket and detained the 58-year-old man, who was inebriated.
Well, Alan is our guest, so I'm going to let him go first. Okay. Unfortunately, T, you're going to have to get whatever he leaves behind.
That's fair.
Well, I have to admit I have a conflict of interest. This was my father.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm definitely going Florida.
Florida, says Alan Covert. T,
that leaves me Germany.
You get Germany. Answer, Dawson.
It happened in Wanekel, Germany.
Oh. And again, T,
I can't take your money. You're a guest. Your money I can take.
You're Jewish, so what's that mean for you?
That's you established in my dollars. That's $1.40.
Right, because it's like 20. Dog years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So wait, you get more per dollar
or
less?
No, it just means more to me.
It's like dog years. Well, come on. Jew dollars versus dog years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Dawson.
Yeah.
Before we check out, again, what town do you hail from and what do you say when you leave?
I'm from Dudeseldorf. And when I leave places, I say, later, hosen.
Germany or Florida?
Ah, everybody. Well, Alan Covert. Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
You want to just go ahead and hang out?
I mean, this is more like a hostage crisis than an appearance.
Just keep asking me that. In the meantime, the door has been locked the whole time.
We have the.
I've tried to leave during commercials.
We have the news coming up. T, we have a tease for the news.
Yes, you're going to fall in love with your captors. Stockholm syndrome.
Okay, good.
Watch out. We're going to talk a little bit about Super Tuesday, and there's a study coming out. Your marriage is getting worse. As we speak.
Oh, dear.
And I will tell you why.
Alan Covert in Strange Wilderness, his movie in the box office, or I should say at the box office. As we speak, we'll take a quick break. Be back for the news next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show and another episode of How Bad is Whoopi? In today's episode, Whoopi explains why Barbara Walters isn't on the show today.
Hey. Barbara Walters, you know, every year she does the Oscar specials.
Yes.
With the real special Oscar people. Well, she's in Los Angeles right now doing the Oscar special with some special Oscar people.
Stay tuned for more How Bad is Whoopi? Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Alan Covert in studio Strange Wilderness, name is movie. Hey, can you guys identify with this pain? I went out to the Four Seasons yesterday for like a business lunch / brunch, but they gave you the lunch menu. So I did that thing where I had the, you know, poached carp and the Brussels sprouts. And then when all the food arrived, everyone else got breakfast.
Yeah.
And I was staring at their eggs with the bacon and the toast and the pancakes. And I was jealous. You ever get burnt when you order lunch and everyone else orders bacon and their breakfast seems so much better than your lunch? Does lunch ever seem better than breakfast when you're sitting?
I have breakfast for dinner all the time. Yeah.
I'm that way, too. And I feel like whoever hands you that lunch thing needs to point out that you, by the way, could order this. Because evidently everyone else at the table was aware of this but me. And I'm looking at a bunch of poached fish, and they're all getting the Eggs Benedict and the hash browns and the bacon and all the pancakes and everything. I feel it's the fiduciary, it's incumbent upon, well, you know what I'm saying? The waitress needs to tap you on the shoulder and go, by the way, you get eggs.
Yeah, by the way, you can get eggs and bacon. It's always an option.
There's nothing worse than that meal envy when your crap pulls up, your crappy fish pulls up, or your chicken breast pulls up with your steamed vegetables, and the person next to you has a nice sloppy, gooey, runny, syrupy mess, and you're looking at them the whole time going, could I get a piece of that toast, brother?
I've never understood ordering a salad at 10 a.m. on a Sunday. I see that on the menu, and I'm like, does anyone order the salad? Well, get the eggs. Get the Eggs Benedict.
It would seem like one of the joys of being rich that you could get your meal and say, you know what, bring me eggs and bacon. I'll pay for both.
After it already arrived.
Yeah, I'll pay for both.
Yeah, except for the person next to me is paying for both.
Oh,
and now I can't do
rude,
it.
Yeah.
If it was a business,
but you said it was a business.
Yes.
Thing, so.
They're expensing it.
Yeah.
All right, T-Bone.
Yeah.
Let's do some business, namely the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
It was Super Tuesday yesterday. The race between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama is still very close. Barack won more states yesterday, but Hillary won states with higher delegate counts, and that's what really matters. On the Republican side, John McCain racked up enough votes to be the very clear front runner, but it's not a done deal, and Mitt Romney, for one, still thinks he has a very good chance.
I think there's some people who thought it was all going to be done tonight. But it's not all done tonight. We're going to keep on battling. We're going to go all the way to the convention. We're going to win this thing, and we're going to get to the White House.
The problem with Mitt, everyone in his party and everyone standing up on the podium and out in the audience is white and rich and old, and they don't know how to do that backup. Yes-um! You know what I mean? They don't know how to do
They're
it.
They're not good hype men.
So, so what you have, like, when you see, like, Jesse Jackson or Martin Luther King take the podium, they have a whole bunch of trained guys behind him. They're just, oh, boy. Say, but you do this. You know, one guy's got a tea time coming up, and he's running late, and you got a bunch of stupid white guys in cardigans going, I'm okay. But their cadence is off. They don't sound. Yeah, they're harumph. Play that one more time and just listen to the super uptight Republican white dudes in the background that can't really get on the same page.
I think there's some people who thought it was all going to be done tonight. But it's not all done tonight. We're going to keep on battling.
Yeah.
We're
going
to go
no.
all the way to the convention.
I mean,
we're going to
awesome.
Win this thing, and we're going to get in the White House.
Okay, then. Rightio.
It sounded like they were starting to boo for a second. and then went, oh, no, we're at the wrong place.
I'm just saying, you get a bunch of brothers behind you, and you pound a little on the podium, you have a nice unison. You have a nice swell of enthusiasm behind you.
You want to hear how Barack Obama's crowd did?
Yeah, now, see, this is going to be different.
In contrast, here's Barack Obama.
And today, on this Tuesday in February, in states north and south,
premature,
east and west,
I went off to early.
What began as a whisper in Springfield has swelled to a chorus of millions calling for change. It's a chorus that cannot be ignored, a chorus that cannot be deterred. This time can be different because this campaign for the presidency of the United States of America is different.
See, that's not the six guys in golf slacks going, oh, okay, what he said.
You know what my favorite part of Super Tuesday? All those funny commercials. I just love them, man.
I watch for the commercials.
I just wait and wait for those funny commercials.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
I'm waiting for two things. I want Barack or Hillary in there. That'll be fun. And then I want the explanation when I say, hey, not bad, right? How racist or sexist could we be as a country? We elected a black guy or a chick. I then want the argument that people are going to make that Barack isn't really black and Hillary isn't really a woman. That's the part. That's the part I'm waiting for.
They're already started making those arguments.
Who do you think?
I just want to see Al Sharpton, what he's going to do the day after Barack gets elected.
Oh.
I mean, okay. I'm going back to Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yep. He will have a lot of wind taken out of his sail.
This morning in New York City, the city medical examiner released a toxicology report stating that Heath Ledger's death was caused by the combined effects of six different drugs. The NYPD found 5 different medications in Ledger's New York City apartment after his death, including anti-anxiety medications and sleeping medications. His family has put out a statement released through Ledger's publicist saying, quote, "While no medications were taken in excess, we learned today the combination of doctor-prescribed drugs proved lethal for our boy. Heath's accidental death serves as a caution to the hidden dangers of combining prescription medication, even at low dosage."
By the way, you know you're a good publicist when your client dies and you're still getting a paycheck.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You know, if you're a doctor or an attorney and your client dies, you don't keep hammering those checks.
No.
Publicists.
Yeah.
How long do you keep them on after they die?
Awkward in a couple weeks when you have to let them go.
Right. And they're like, I don't understand. And you're like, well, the guy you work for is dead. Oh, excuses. It's personal, isn't it? What is it? You don't like my breath. You don't like the way I dress. But on the other hand, does Elvis still have a publicist?
I bet he does.
I bet there's somebody in charge of that.
Well, he certainly has licensing.
The wife is.
Right.
Priscilla.
Yeah, Priscilla. Yeah. I almost said Lisa Marie. I couldn't remember the wife's name.
Well, it's hard to distinguish them. They both look young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently, L. Ron Hubbard is the publicist now.
He needs a publicist more than anybody, even though he's dead.
Mm.
Okay, now, you as you know, Britney Spears is at the psych ward,
yes,
at UCLA. Justin Chambers from Grey's Anatomy is in the same psych ward. Eva Mendez is in rehab at Utah, where Lindsay Lohan was. And now, this is a weird one.
Wait a minute. Who? Eva Mendez?
Yeah. Eva Mendez.
What's up? What's up with her?
Her publicist just said she needed to, you know, deal with some personal situations.
And so she's in a loony bin, too?
No, she's actually in a rehab.
Now,
the same rehab that Lindsay went to, Cirque Lodge.
Now, how much confidence do you have going to the same place that Lindsay Lohan went to?
You mean because she's drinking again?
Well, I don't know, but it just seems like, okay, well, maybe go to a place where
somebody's had some success. Yeah.
Right. You can't blame it on the rehab center.
Right.
They probably did their best.
But do you think, like, Jeffrey Dahmer's junior college has a picture of him up as you enter the hall of the main building? Like, you should be living that down, right?
Right. I mean, that's the whole reason why 12-step programs use anonymity, because they don't want you to see the guy who fell off the wagon and think that 12-step programs don't work.
It's hard to have anonymity when your publicist is telling everyone you're in rehab.
And right. What happened to the guy from Grey's Anatomy? And
that's
by the way,
one, yes.
Well, which guy on Grey's Anatomy? The gay guy?
Dr. McNutty.
He doesn't have a McName. He's the really hot guy that fell in love with the girl who had amnesia.
Look, I watched the show. They're all hot, okay?
He originally was with Katherine Heigl's character at the beginning, and then they broke up.
Isn't that the gay guy?
He's really good looking. No, well, they're together now.
First off, T, you got to narrow it down, because as a Jewish female entering her 30s, all doctors are hot.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like catnip.
Let's narrow it down. So he's the hot guy that fell in love. You would recognize the guy.
Okay.
You would definitely recognize him.
No, I don't.
This is amazing.
The girl lost her memory, Ava, and they fell in love, and then they were reunited.
I got to be honest. It's one of those shows where I'm online next to my wife, pretend, and every once in a while I look up and go, oh, what'd that woman say?
If you I heard the story a few days ago, and he's been on hiatus for the last number of weeks or months because of the writer strike. So it's kind of a slap in the face to your family when you return from work, hang out the house with your wife and 5 kids, and 3 weeks you're like, I got to check myself into a hospital.
Is he the guy with, he's the guy with 5 kids?
I understand. I think he has 6.
Okay.
A lot in any case.
Yeah.
I have 1, and I understand the mental hospital.
You do.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, here's the latest addition to that group, Delta Burke. TMZ is reporting that the Designing Women star checked herself into a psychiatric hospital last week for, here's where it gets extra weird, depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, and hoarding. Have you heard of hoarding?
I've heard of whoring.
Yeah, I'm going out whoring.
No, I know hoarding. Yeah. That's where they like a pack rat.
That's exactly
right.
Hey,
I'm going to take a moped to Tijuana and do some whoring. That's whoring, yeah.
Well, hoarding has ruined Delta Burke's life, according to an interview she did with TMZ. She believes that she'll be able to conquer it with help.
Yeah. Well, she was hoarding calories, I guess, in the 80s, and that was the problem. You know, the problem is she's married to that guy, Major Dad.
Yeah, Major Dad. Right.
And to have a guy show up at 6 a.m. wearing the cami jumpsuit with the reflective sunglasses and banging on a trash can with a wooden spoon every morning has to drive anyone nuts. He's one of these guys, by the way, that did... Here's what we should all hope for in our life, that we take on a role where we play something on TV and then later on become that guy, like where you play a doctor on TV yeah. and then later on you're the spokesperson for Bayer Aspirin or whatever. Right. He would do all this stuff. He has a weird name. What the hell's that guy's name? Major Dad.
McCraney.
Yeah, Gerald McCraney.
Gerald, yeah.
He played Major Dad for 3.5 seasons in the 80s and then became the spokesperson for the military channel. If you watch all the shows for the military channel.
Is he, or I thought it was the other guy.
He does
have. Metal jacket.
Half the
Get on your knees, scumbag.
That's Arlie Ermey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he does mail call. But the other guy's the guy who'll go walking out and he'll go, the F-16, a Super Hornet, the most formidable fighting machine ever. And you believe he's the guy, but you realize, oh, no, he's a guy from TV. He probably never was in the service. But I think those two are married. Are they not?
Yes.
I don't know.
No, they were married. I don't know if they still are.
All right.
I will look into that for you.
You know, he had that other show, Simon and Simon.
Oh, you're right.
Which was two brothers, apparently, from
These
completely different families.
This is some edgy stuff. Let's go back to the Carol Channing.
You know, it reminds me of an episode of Alf, where... Diamonds are a girl's best friend. All right. Go ahead, G. Sorry.
How about Family Affair? We haven't gone over that in a while.
Mm.
Okay. Here is a study, a new study out of the University of Michigan. A team of researchers found that the longer a couple is together, the more irritating they find each other.
Sure.
This is probably the result of what they are calling accumulated contact, which I guess is just a fancy way of saying you see this person all the freaking time. And when you're part of a couple, your spouse is, of course, your go-to person and vice versa. That means you open up to them more than you would to anyone else. But because they're your go-to, you're in near constant contact with them and their demands and their nitpicking and whatever other habits they have, which then become increasingly irritating.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we ask things of our spouse we wouldn't ask of anyone else, and we say things we wouldn't say to anyone else. Now, this is probably why researchers found that people don't get sick of their friends or their kids.
By the way, I disagree with that. I was asking Bald Brian for oral just the other day. You know how the game is played.
I do.
Well, let me give you my horrible theory about life, because obviously you're going to learn to hate your spouse just like you've learned to hate every single roommate you've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, half the people you moved in with, you moved in because you were best friends,
right.
And then you moved out 9 months later because you were going to kill each other, right? So if you can do that with your best buddy, imagine when you sprinkle intimacy into the mix. Now, here's my theory. I haven't given it on this show, I do not believe, but you guys tell me what you think. I have this theory that everything is good for a certain amount of time. I like to yell at my wife, and this is one of the reasons we're going to get divorced one day, because she'll leave the TV set on, she'll leave the plasma set on, and then she'll leave the room and make a phone call, and then nine hours later, I'll come in there and have to see that Major Dad is burned into the plasma screen because it was on pause for the last 9 hours. And I say this. Everything has a number of hours that could be assigned to its lifetime. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, human beings, cars, plasma screens, jet engines, there's just a certain amount of hours, and that's all you have. I believe every relationship is good for that, and that's why you don't want to use them all up at once. I think that somebody could live together in a small one-bedroom apartment for 9 months versus live apart for 9 years. You know what I mean? Like, you could see somebody every other weekend for the rest of your life, or you guys could move into a small bachelor apartment and want to kill each other in 6 months. This is why you need square footage. And this is why you shouldn't talk too much to your spouse.
Yeah, yeah. You need to save some stuff for, like, when you're 70.
That's right. My wife will bring up something like, you know, your son is... Save it for the vacation.
Save it.
Save it for the vacation.
See, I have a theory. It's called the Kiss Theory. And mm-hmm. I'm talking about the rock band,
mm-hmm.
which is when I was 11, they were the greatest thing in the world. Then when I was in high school, they were kind of cheesy.
Right.
Then, you know, and I hated them and denied them. But then later, I grew to appreciate how great Kiss had been in my life.
Right.
And now I love them again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my marriage is going to be the same way.
Well, how long have you been married?
2 years, exactly.
Oh, that's a newlywed,
kind of, right?
Yeah,
still a newlywed.
So it can't be irritating yet, can
it? Oh, God, no, not at all. My wife's great anyway.
But what I say is let's not use it all up in the first few years.
Yeah, pace yourselves.
Yeah, yeah, there's, look, trust me, I have a closet full of secrets I haven't let out to her yet. I'm just easing her into my craziness.
That's right. I want to hear more lick it up, by the way.
I'm gay.
I didn't mean that kind of closet.
Alan, do you sing this to your young bride every night?
I actually sing Christine 16.
Ah, better. Even though she's 14 and a half. We still get it. We're not going anywhere until he sings Lick It Up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lick it up. Lick it, that's all. It up. I'll go falsetto for you.
Lick it up.
Lick it up.
All right, I'll do the lower register. You go falsetto.
I'll be Paul Stanley, you be Gene Simmons.
All right. Lick it up. Lick it up. Ho, ho, ho. Lick it up.
There's a reason
lick
I'm a comedian.
Lick it up. Ho, ho, ho.
And the show has reached a new low.
I would have loved to just been a fly on the wall of the recording studio in 1987 when they laid this track down, like having real serious conversations with the engineer, like, hey, Paul, yeah, your job is to yell, lick it up, yeah, yeah, yeah. Gene, you go lick it up, no, 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 okay?
Oh, dude, by 87, do you think any of them were ever in the studio together?
Good point.
It was like, they just walked in, what do you want me to say? Lick it up? Okay, I'll do it three times. I got a lunch.
You yell, lick it up, girl, you got to lick it up into the speakerphone. Which, Paul? All right, do we do one more round? One more round.
Lick it up. Lick it up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it? I think it's. Oh, oh, oh. Oh,
it's only right
lick
now.
It up. Ho, ho, ho. Lick it up.
We played this at my wedding. That's why I know it so well.
What exactly are they licking up?
Geez, hard to tell. I don't know.
Did someone spill some milk on the floor or something? What's happening?
Here's a song by a gay guy.
All right, T. You want to take a break and lick up the rest of the news when we come back?
Yeah, let me, if I could, just complete this story just so I don't leave out the important information.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of the irritation is that it points to a closeness we don't have with anyone else.
Mm.
And that's a good thing because you can't be irritated by people who you don't love.
That's not true.
Yeah, but you can divorce people you did love.
I didn't love the guy in the white BMW who made me late getting here this morning, and I was very annoyed.
It's a different
him.
Kind of love.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Alan Covert here, Strange Wilderness. Hey, yesterday, did I play my Danny Lynn crap, or did I say I was going
to
play my Danny Lynn crap and not play
it?
Played it off the air. I pulled a clip from Entertainment Tonight on Monday night about Danny Lynn, Nicole, whatever's young, whoever.
Anna Nicole's
okay. Young. Hey, there's too many Nicoles. Yeah. You know what the problem is my Anna Nicoles, my Nicole Richies, and my Nicole Brown Simpsons are all swimming around in my hemp-fueled brain, and they don't come out in the right order. Little Danny Lynn, there is a clip that I'll play you that will make vomit come out of the nose of every parent listening. We'll do that. We'll do the rest of the news. Alan Covert hanging in because we locked him in, and we'll do it next.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Pawpaw, Michigan. A 65-year-old man was charged with several counts of animal cruelty after neighbors complained of a strong smell of urine coming from his house. When animal control officers arrived, they found and removed 41 chihuahuas. Definitely not a Jew.
Yeah. But by the way, walking through a living room with 41 chihuahuas would be like one of those cartoons where they put all the mouse traps out and you have to walk through it barefoot. Like you went, the ultimate sort of nip at your heels kind of dog. And yeah. Look, you a-holes that defend chihuahuas, why don't you get a lab? and take a chill pill. They're the worst animals on the planet. Not they're not only the worst dog, they're the worst animal. Like they beat out the badger this year for worst animal. All you people that like birds and chihuahuas, you guys should go to some effing island where you just get picked at by macaws and nipped at by chihuahuas.
Yeah, birds, no.
You know how I know birds are crappy pets? The people that own the birds and have been taking care of them, feeding them, and cleaning their ass up for 10 years, when they reach into their cage, they get bit by the bird.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You find me another pet that bites the owner after 10 years of being taken care of. Jesus Christ. They lived to 90, by the way. That's one animal that could kick off at 4 months, and I'd be happy about it.
I have a question about the chihuahuas, though. Was he buying the chihuahuas, or were they just, like, rampantly having sex and just having baby chihuahuas all over the house?
Hard to tell. We can look into it during the break.
I'm scared to say, but I think they're cute.
Alan, no.
Their little ears and little faces.
Look, rats are cute too. If they didn't run around your attic and burrow into things,
and
have
mice. Eat your Cheetos.
Right, they're evil. It's not that they're not. There've been many a dictator that has been short and cute. They're mostly short guys.
You know who was cute? Pol Pot.
Pol Pot was
Kim Jong-il.
Kim Jong-il's adorable.
He could have fronted a boys band in the 70s. Yeah, and then you got your Napoleons and your Hitlers. Exactly. All guys, all short little cute
Hugo
guys.
Hugo Chavez.
Right.
4'3".
No, he isn't.
They do nothing but kill.
You're comparing a chihuahua to Hugo Chavez?
That's unfair to Hugo Chavez.
It is. But look, think about it. They're both from South America.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
They both apparently never stop yakking, and they're both kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this. Hugo Chavez never ran down into my office and crapped on my floor.
That guy sounds hot.
The day is young.
But let me tell you, Jana in our office, her fat chihuahua has.
Oh, my God.
That's even worse, a fat chihuahua.
You know.
More to love.
You want to know what my fantasy is? You know what I'm going to do? When I'm in charge, I'm going to take parrots, and I'm going to release them into the wild, and I'm going to say, fly, soar like the eagles you are, and I'm going to let them go and give them a little head start. Then I'm going to load chihuahuas into those skeet loaders, or skeet chair, and I'm going to yell, pull, and I'm going to send the chihuahua hurling into the air, and the parrot is going to be one big bloody poof of feathers, and that'll be the end of both of them.
Do you hate all little dogs? Like, where do you stand on pugs?
I like pugs better than chihuahuas, but all little things have attitudes. Little people have attitudes. Little dogs have attitudes. And little dogs having an attitude is sort of like a fat chick with an attitude. Like, now you're worth nothing to me. At least if you're a good time or you're horny or something, there'd be something redeeming about you. So you're a chihuahua. You don't do anything, by the way. You don't herd sheep.
Nope.
You don't sniff out drugs at the airport. Nope. You don't, I can't use you for hunting. I can't cuddle you. You're the size of my fist, for the love of Christ. And you have a horrible attitude? Now you're zero. Maybe, you're less than zero.
Maybe it's the portability factor. Like you could, you know.
But that's
you can put the dog in your purse.
But see, now we're screwed because the person that works at your office that brings a chihuahua, if she had a nice big brown lab, you wouldn't mind seeing that dog, except for that dog doesn't get dragged around because the dog's 85 pounds.
Right.
I had a makeup artist when we did Loveline who held her chihuahua and made my face up while the dog growled at me.
Now, you could have ended that, right? You were like, couldn't you have been like the mean boss and been like, get that dog out of here?
I didn't want to be a prima donna, but I did mention to her a couple of times going through other people doing that. I don't mind. But a lot of stars that come in here while you're holding your mutt and being made up with your bad hand, by the way, looking like a clown was made up in, like you're in an airport bathroom with turbulence in the airplane. I said a lot of people might have a problem with it. And by the way, when somebody says to you a lot of people might have a problem, they mean the person.
They mean I have a problem.
I'm just too nice. All right, let's get rid of chihuahuas. I'm with T. Kill them all.
Wait.
Yeah. I agree. For once, we found some common ground.
I know. It's nice.
All right. Now do your news, and then I'm going to play my Entertainment Tonight Danny Lynn thing that's going to make everyone vomit in their mouth.
Okay. I will make this quick. Now, Alan, you have a movie out, Strange Wilderness.
Yes.
Thought I'd just work that in.
Hey, thank you.
Since you've been here for 12 hours.
Only feels like 12.
Matthew McConaughey has a movie coming out called Fool's Gold. Have you seen the trailer?
No, I have not heard or seen anything about this. The only thing I do know is it's not as funny as Strange Wilderness.
not funny. Everyone's walking around in their underpants getting hit in the face.
Yeah, sometimes they get hit in their head and sometimes down below.
I did see him get hit in the head with like a hockey stick or something. Right.
We got to pool our money together and get him a T-shirt. I'm going to start a drive. Where
the guy does okay. I think he could maybe afford, you know, a packet of tees.
I'm going to pass the hat. We're going to get him a chub pack of Hanes V-necks for Christmas.
We could probably go on Craigslist and get him pretty
cheap. Let's get him a T-shirt.
Well, you know, he's about to be a father. His Brazilian model girlfriend is due to give birth this summer.
It's going to be great when he's in the OR with her and he's wearing a mask but no shirt.
and she doesn't understand a word he's saying because she doesn't
put
speak English.
Put your shirt on. What?
He's going to have those things over his shoes to keep them, you know, hygienic.
When you tell Matthew McConaughey, hey, put a shirt on, he's like, huh? And he starts taking his pants off and you're like, no, you don't understand.
You can get a shirtless clean suit.
Right? Yeah, but dude, if I had that guy's upper body, I'd probably walk around with my shirt off, too.
All right, I get it.
Well, here he is talking about his girlfriend's pregnancy.
The baby's due in late June, early July. Everything's healthy so far and happy and nice and mellow. It's good.
What did he do? Eat a pot brownie, take a shirt off, and do an interview?
Oh, man, she's nice
in that order.
Yeah.
Do you want to know about his character?
I'm from Dinseldorf.
Do you want to know about his character in Fool's Gold?
Oh, sure. Let me guess. A lovable guy who doesn't wear a shirt.
Here's this guy who's a, if you've ever been somebody running down a dream, and if you imagine something could be true, well, then it must be true. And so he's got to get the gold and keep his girl. Keep his wife and get the treasure.
Even he knows it's not good.
Okay, so he gets to keep the treasure and the wife, whereas in Strange Wilderness, we go looking for Bigfoot.
That's right. Now, what sounds more compelling?
It's like you can watch a guy and his wife fight over money, which apparently is what this movie's about.
Yeah, by the way, I'll use a mirror if I want to see a guy and his wife fight over money.
Or you can watch a bunch of idiots go through the jungle to find Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's like McConaughey shirt off or Steven Zahn being raped by a Yeti.
Exactly. Come on. There's not even a contest.
No contest.
I'll leave you with this so we have time to get to Danny Lynn.
That's what it sounded like.
That was.
And that was coming out of Zahn.
I will leave you with this.
Yes.
There's a new invention. It's called the wine rack.
Mm.
It's a bra that you fill up with wine.
Poops.
Mm-hmm.
It's made of polyurethane. It has a bladder, which is able to hold an entire bottle of wine. It also has a hose and nozzle, which women can discreetly sip from when no one is looking. And to make a good thing even better, the wine rack serves the double purpose of increasing the wearer's chest size by up to 2 full cup sizes.
So a lot of chicks entering the stadium as a D cup and leaving as a B?
That's right. Because the more you drink, the smaller your bra gets.
Right.
But surprising amount of celebrity endorsements.
Right.
Amy Winehouse.
She loves the wine rack.
Amy Winehouse, Britney Spears. I mean, they've got them all lined up for the... this is just basically saying, hi, I'm an alcoholic, if you buy this.
I got to tell you, I'm scared because I've been burned by this before. Kimmel and I went to the Rose Bowl a few years back when I think Arizona State was playing, and he brought the penis rack with him. Oh. It's... basically the same idea, but it attaches to a fella downstairs.
Right, and a tube.
Somewhere when they closed the beer line around the third quarter, I said, give me a hit off that, and they put it up on the Diamond Vision, and it was, it was not a great day for our publicist. And there's no amount of explaining in the world that can ever really, you can't really talk people out of this. Once they feel like they've seen something, they've seen it.
Yeah,
and me
explain.
Screaming I was thirsty. It didn't help. It just didn't help.
Very difficult to explain the concept of the polyurethane bladder that was in.
You know what? I felt like it was one of these things where I kept getting guiltier the more I protested. So at a certain point, I just said, look,
I was doing it.
I was doing it, and I'm a big Kimmel fan. And evidently, I just show it in a different way.
That's
how
you get into his fan club.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll leave you with that because I want to hear your clip about Danny Lynn and Larry Burkhead.
Yeah, all right. What happened?
That? I don't know.
That was Larry Burkhead.
News. Today, Teresa Strasser.
All right. Larry Burkhead, who I don't trust. because I see him dragging his 14-month-old daughter to Kitson on Robinson, taking her out to the Ivy and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, look, first off, as a dad, you really should have no involvement with your child until they get to high school, and then you can throw the ball around, and that's only if they're a dude.
Right.
Secondly, there are ways to go shopping for your 14-month-old that don't involve the paparazzi and Robertson Boulevard. It's pretty easy to do. You just hit the Target. Yeah, and by the way, your kid, your young girl, is going to want cool, trendy clothes that are going to cost a lot of money by the time she gets into the ninth grade. Now's the time to save money and go to the Target because they're 14 months old.
Yeah, the diamond-encrusted onesie, not really necessary.
Right. So I see this guy all over the television, and I think not only was this guy the former paparazzi, not only did he hang out with Anna Nicole, but they crapped out a kid, and the kid has become a meal ticket. And I understand when some snake oil salesman hooks up with a drugged up Britney Spears and tries to make a buck, but when you're talking about a toddler, and it's not even really your kid, and it seems like you're trying to cash in, then it becomes pathetic. Burkhead stock got even lower on Monday when I saw this on E.T.
Danny Lynn visits her mother's grave for the very first time. A little girl, a black bow in her hair, calling for the mother she'll never see again.
See you in hell, everyone.
It was easier a year later than it was, you know, the day of the funeral.
The heartbreaking trip back to the Bahamas.
This is the closest that you'll come to a family reunion with, you know, Anna and Daniel, and that's tough.
Inside the church, inside the cemetery with an unmarked grave and the moving gift one-year-old Danny Lynn left behind.
It really took my breath away.
Anna Nicole, 1 year later.
E.T. was the only television show to see Anna Nicole alive with Danny Lynn. Well, now we are the only show with Danny Lynn at her mother's grave. It is a story you don't want to miss, and it begins Wednesday.
Get the kids, gather around the set. We're talking about feel good. I feel like if our founding fathers saw this, they would never stop vomiting. They would just go, what happened?
No, they would have actually said, never mind.
Right.
Never mind.
Forget
yeah.
life, liberty, and the pursuit of other people's business.
I'm just trying to figure out who involved in this story is the most disgusting, because did you hear how proud E.T. was?
It's an exclusive scoop.
We had them alive, now we've got them dead.
I know, they're like Woodward and Bernstein or something. They've blown the lid off this whole Anna Nicole thing.
Yeah, only we ones. Paid Larry Burkhead enough
to
have
fly
him
coach back to Aruba.
His infant for us.
Oh, I just, how pathetic is that?
I mean, remember that Madonna movie where, like, they filmed her laying on her mother's grave?
Yes,
and I was just sitting there going, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
It's like she was literally rolling around on her mother's grave going, I miss her. It's
I gotta say, like, in the past, I was nauseated by this stuff, but now that I'm a mother... I'm revolted by it. It is sad and pathetic. And
motherhood has really changed you.
Burkhead is just a stupid guy in his 30s who thinks it'd be a good idea to frost his tips and head to Kitson to pick up a onesie. But Entertainment Tonight, come on. They should know what they're doing, shouldn't they?
Yeah. You'd hope.
All right, come on.
They knew what they were doing.
How about another hard-hitting interview with Nicole Richie?
Are there no more anorexic twins in Australia?
Please, that's what I'm saying. All right, Alan Covert, just pops his head in for 2 hours and 45 minutes and plugs his Strange Wilderness movie, says he has to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, and we plug Strange Wilderness a lot.
All right, I'll stay, but you have to plug it at least 5 more times. Hi, I'm an alcoholic.
Sandler paged him, said he made a number 2, and he didn't want to soil his hands.
I swear to you, he just kept calling me going, I'm out of TP, you better be on your way.
Come on down and bring that silk scarf I gave you for Christmas last year.
We're up to $100 bills over there.
he's printing it. Alan Covert, Strange Wilderness. When we come back, we're going to talk to a 10-year-old chick who graduated high school and is now going to college as a veterinary student. I know it sounds like a joke, but we'll speak to her next.
And we're back.
As always, you're invited to come on along with us
to the Adam Carolla Show.
Alan Covert in studio, Strange Wilderness, name of his movies, or I should say movie, at the box office. As we speak now, when we left off, I was talking about Courtney Oliver. Courtney Oliver is like a young, well, that's redundant, Doogie Howser.
Yeah, except in the world of animals. She's a veterinary assistant.
Ooh. Hey, Courtney?
Yeah?
How old are you? 10 years of age. Are you going to be on Ellen?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
When you walk out, when she puts her hand out to shake your hand,
uh-huh.
I want you to knee her right in the groin.
No. Oh. I was actually already on the show.
Oh, you already did it?
Yeah.
Did you like meeting Ellen?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's a really nice lady.
Yeah, except for the cooties boys. Oh, yes, lady, that's right.
She loves animals.
Yes.
Oh, yes, she does.
Yes, some would say more than people. Hey, Courtney Oliver? So the Ellen will be on today. Will we be able to see you today?
Yes.
And
we'll see me today.
And your story is you went to veterinary college at what age and are now certified? You can actually, at 10 years of age, you can actually operate on people's pets?
Actually, no. I assist on people's pets. I help open sterile packages and dab blood.
So, like, if I was operating on a dog, I'd be like forceps, scalpel, kibble, and you would hand me that stuff?
Yeah. I hand stuff to her, too.
Yeah. You know what I want to do before I die? I want to sterilize my hands. You know, I want to walk around with my hands held up.
Right.
Yeah. That weird sterilization move, and then close the faucet with my elbow.
Yeah, with your elbow.
Courtney, yeah. Do you ever get grossed out or disgusted when you see a surgery on an animal?
Not really.
Mm-hmm. Courtney, I have a lady turtle that I want to make into a boy turtle. Do you guys or is that inappropriate?
I think that might be slightly.
Do you guys work on turtles, or do you just go, ah, screw it?
Well, the other day we had a turtle in that had a broken shell.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Did you fix the turtle?
Yeah. Actually, I wasn't there for the procedure. We had to leave because we had something to do.
She had a nap.
But we came in the next day, and the turtle was just healing just fine.
Turtle was good?
Mm-hmm. Super glue.
You know what we call a turtle with a broken shell where I'm from? An ashtray.
What?
That's what we do.
Courtney, do you have dogs and cats at home or any pets?
Yes. Our whole family has 4 dogs.
Uh-huh.
But I have one of them. Her name is Maggie, and I have 2 hamsters.
Oh, that is sweet.
When you're studying for your veterinary stuff, do you ever do, like, experiments on your own pets?
Yeah, we bandaged their foot.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking more surgical.
Yeah, I was thinking actually, you know, things that involve razors and sterilization.
We don't practice razors on them, no.
Okay, good.
Can you imagine, though, what the dog does when little Courtney comes home from school just hightailing it out the back door?
Actually, I don't go to school. I homeschool, actually.
Ah, so this is either the best thing in the world or the worst thing in the world. But you're going to grow up. Well, you're already a veterinarian. That's your dream, then. You're going to open your own practice.
I'm a veterinary assistant.
Right, but you will be one by the time you're 13, right, at this pace.
Well, I'm not at 13. I'd say I'm probably like 15.
15, but retire at 21, right?
Yeah.
No.
All right, so, Courtney, you're homeschooled. And do you like being homeschooled?
Yes.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
And your mom is standing in front of you right now with a dry erase board that says yes on it?
No.
Oh, now it says no?
No.
I'm just playing around, baby doll.
Courtney, ignore everything that's happened and just enjoy being on Ellen.
So, Courtney, God willing, one day my dog Molly will come into your veterinarian practice and you can take care of her.
Really?
Yeah. She's a lab. You like labs?
Yeah.
Do you like chihuahuas?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this conversation's
over. That
was
a very reluctant yes, though. I think a veterinary assistant has to say she likes all labs.
Yeah. Hey, Courtney, there's a boat and it's sinking. And you have to throw one dog overboard, a lab or a chihuahua?
Chihuahua.
Yeah. That's my girl.
Yeah, Courtney.
Shark bait. And not even bait, just an appetizer.
Yeah, yeah.
Shark can't get filled
like
up on a chihuahua. That's right.
Courtney, congratulations on becoming a veterinary assistant so young, and say hello to Maggie.
We need to take a break. Back to wrap it up next. Good times. A little space trucking for you, Heshers. All right, just enough time to give some thanks for thanks to do. I want to thank Alan Covert.
Hi, I'm an alcoholic.
Alan hung in longer than we were on the air. Strange Wilderness, everybody, in theaters now. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and win yourself some tickets to our NBC Night Rider party at the Playboy Mansion coming up next week. And you can also hear the show on Free 2 HD at AdamCarolla.com. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Captain, we can't feed them boys sticky rice.